B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Dare I say a good morning to everyone? I wish you guys a happy, happy Tuesday, September the 29th, in your own personal lives. However, we reside in sports world, which is right now sports hell. We remain in the fifth circle of sports hell, which is the circle filled with anger. And it didn't go away. None of it went away. None of it subsided at all, even after a day. In fact, watching a wonderful football game. Like, do you guys ever, because we're all in love with the sport, right? Whatever it is, football, basketball, baseball, you know, hockey. Like, we just love the sport. Like, watching games is what we do. We love the sport. And so last night, you know, I got the Lightning on, and then I can't wait for, you know, I'm going back and forth because I can't wait for Chiefs and Ravens. And I can't wait to watch those two kids play quarterback. Watching Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, it's just, as a football fan, I love it. It was the same as I got watching Brady Manning. I loved watching Brady Manning, and I loved last night watching Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. And obviously, you guys know, not the front, right? You know, I'm a Chiefs man. Love Andy, you know, close with him, and, you know, and Spags is like family, right? So, you know, I got a little bit of a vested interest in watching those guys do well, and I, you know, hear all about, you know, those guys and, you know, every day what's going on in practice and stuff. So, I got a vested interest in him and in the Chiefs and in watching the game. It was just a great football game. And I'm watching the football game and I'm going, I love this sport. Sport's amazing. And then invariably, like I'm sure it happens to you guys, you go back home to the Eagles. And look, this has nothing to do with, we love the colors and we love the people involved. It's just, you know, right now it's not good. But watching supreme execution, first of all, Mahomes is sick, right? He's just amazing. Amazing. I know I go overboard at times, and we were talking about this during the pandemic, and I said, he's already in my top five all time. But I love watching him play quarterback. Love watching. And just the arsenal of throws that he makes. I'm in awe of watching that dude play quarterback. The way he moves, but really it's the arm. It's the different angles. Patrick Mahomes is unreal. And I'm watching him, and I'm shaking my head going, he's just magical. Just absolutely makes magic on a football field. He's a great dude and the whole thing. And I'm watching Andy with him. And, you know, Andy's like this proud father. Because he does get invested. I saw it with Donovan, man. He loved Donovan. Loved him. He would never, as much as sometimes Donovan would work his nerves. But here's the one thing you could say about Andy. And if you may not like Andy Reid or whatever, and I get frustration here and stuff like that, but that dude knows quarterbacks. Nobody knows quarterbacks like that guy. He does. He knows offense. He knows quarterbacks. And he knows how to nurture quarterbacks. We had a conversation about Mike Vick yesterday, a 30-second conversation. But what he did with Mike Vick in teaching him at a latter age, after some of his skills had eroded, right? At least some of his running skills, his elusive skills. Right? And I remember talking to Mike about it and how much he gushed about having, like, proper coaching, like really good coaching. And so I'm watching the Mahomes thing, and Baltimore Ravens defense is a great defense, man. I mean, it really is. It's a really good defense. And I'm watching how he's carving them up. And the play calling is amazing. The play design is amazing. It's second level, right? It's second level. Now, obviously Wentz is a mess, so that hurts Doug and what he can do. But even, you know, and he's got the receiving core, you know, there's no Tyreek Hills, there's no, you know, Clyde running the ball, there's no Sammy Watkins, right? There's none of those guys. So, let alone, you know, Kelsey's Kelsey, even he's a little bit better than Ertz. So, clearly, there's a difference in, you know, personnel as well. But, man, like, the imagination that Andy showed last night on offense against a great defense was really impressive. And then I go to the other side of the ball. And not because, you know, he's my boy, but the Eagles had more invested cap-wise in their defense than Kansas City has in its defense. And he's going against, now, Lamar is amazing. I love watching him. He'll get even better as a thrower. But he's a ghost, right? Like, you know, it's impossible. And watching what he did, what Spags did, he tortured that kid. Toward the end of the game, fourth quarter, when it's only a one-score game, he did man zero, right? Which is all-out blitz. He did it three straight times. And just as, you know, Kansas City goes back, makes a two-score, Baltimore's driving back, trying to get in the game, trying to get back into it, and he pushed them all the way back, and they stoned them. I mean, it was tremendous football. Tremendous. And you know, when we turn it back here, you know elite and you know mediocre to subpar. And all the parties involved right now, at this moment of time, this snapshot on September the 28th, they're subpar. The quarterback, the coach, the defensive coordinator, the general manager, I mean, you see the difference. And it's frustrating as all get out. And we'll dive into Wentz today because he's got to at this point get mad. Like, he's got to show some other than Richie Cunningham, oh, yes, we're fine. Yes, yes, I'm fine. Golly gee. No. You got to want it, dude. You know, I got to see you dying, man. I don't want to hear platitudes. Like, I want to see you even more. Now, I understand the idea of trying too hard, and I think it's in his head, but he's got to snap out of it. You know, when the weapons, no weapons, whatever it is, he's got to snap out of this thing. Or else it is. It's done. I'm still holding out hope, but he's got to snap out of it. Let's go, man. You're a $100 million man. I need you. I love you, but you got to snap out of it. That's it. We'll get into Doc Rivers today as he was let go by the Clippers. So we'll talk about Doc, and I got a couple little insight there. And still no movement on the Klentak front, which is interesting to me and scary. Because Bob Brookover, covers the Phillies, said that there's a chance he may not go anywhere. And I just don't understand it. I just don't understand why they would not make a move after, you know, only because the Eagles they were so miserable on Sunday in that tie that we didn't blast the Phillies. Like, they got some shrapnel. But they need it between the eyes. You need one win to get in, to just back your way into the playoffs. Playoffs start today. Everybody makes it, right? Like, 8 teams in each league making it. And they didn't make the playoffs because they couldn't win one game against a team that already clinched while throwing their two best pitchers. Like, that can't just get glossed over. Good morning, Shunas.
Hello. Why'd you have to bring up his name? Klentak. I can't stand, I don't know, dude. If he's here, I mean, we spoke this morning on the phone. The Phillies went past a laughing stock. Like, they went past laughing stock to irrelevant, or, you know, you wanted to bring the torches.
Yes.
And they might keep this man? I don't know. And it's funny, you bring up something. When you watched that game last night, I felt that same feeling. Like, I'll be honest, it was jealousy. Like, I'm watching that game and I go, man, would it be nice to have Patrick Mahomes here and have a dynamic offensive play caller like Andy Reid. Even though, you know, Doug did have his time, it's Andy Reid adapts every single year, it seems like. I watched something, Rob Friedman on Twitter, he goes by the Pitching Ninja, all right? So he always posts the nastiest pitches through Major League Baseball. And for the most part, a lot of the times it's relievers. And I'm seeing guys throwing 100-mile-per-hour two-seamers, 100-mile-per-hour cutters. I'm seeing sliders fall off the table at 95 miles per hour. And I go, how come we don't have one of those guys? I mean, it's the same thing. I watch this and I get jealous.
I mean, look, this comes down to their farm system and operation.
Mm-hmm.
Having a farm, that's a huge deal.
The Dodgers call guys up left and right to throw 100 miles per hour.
It's unreal.
And they're right? The best team in baseball.
And by the way, they got all kinds of guys. Like that kid Rios.
Yep.
Right? He's a stud anywhere else. But because they have so many, Jock Peterson, like he's mm-hmm. like nothing, right? Like, you know, you got that lineup that's just filled with bats everywhere.
Yeah.
The Astros, still. Say what you want. Kyle Tucker. Right? Like there's, and what are you bringing up? Heasley?
Kyle Garlick was on your opening day roster this year.
Yeah.
Kyle Garlick.
I mean, Moniak. I mean, really? Number one overall pick?
Yeah.
Don Cornelius? I mean, these guys, I mean, come on. And you got to go get, you don't even have anybody to try it out in the bullpen that throws anything. Then you had to go revamp the bullpen that you just left unattended.
Yep.
And it was worse. Like, somehow it was just as bad. And you use that, whatever assets you did, to try to fix it. And you can't fix it. But there is a systemic issue in the Phillies farm system. They're not being taught properly. Nope. They're not being, you know, cultivated. You got to cultivate young players.
Yep.
Teach them. I mean, that's got to end.
Yeah, and hey, it's spilling over into the Eagles, right? So the Flyers, we have our confidence in. And look, they have young talent, and they have guys that are still coming up, which is awesome. The Sixers, we think they have the talent. They just may not have been coached well enough. Like, when I'm going to be watching the NBA Finals, like, I'm still obviously going to be jealous because my team's not in it. But I go, you know what? The Sixers still have some talent. I think that they can contend to try to get there at some point. I may be crazy in thinking that, but they could probably get there at some point. But when I watch the upper echelon of the NFL and Major League Baseball, I go, man, are they even anywhere close? Like, I thought the Eagles were a playoff team this year. 9-7 at best. They sneak in one of those three wild card spots.
Well, because there was an added wild card. And because you play in a division with two rebuilding teams, like,
right.
Damn, they've been mm-hmm. rebuilding for a decade, right? Washington and Giants, they're two rebuilding teams. So that's been a huge advantage.
Yep.
The only reason why they made the playoffs last year was because
those
and
two
even the
teams
year before
in Dallas
that.
Collapses.
Right. Yeah.
But I look at the, you know, I watched the Chiefs yesterday, and I get, all right, they're the Super Bowl champs, defending Super Bowl champs, but you watch around the league, and I was doing it in my read yesterday. There were 14 teams that scored 30 plus points last week. 14 teams.
Yep.
And have you seen anything out of this Eagles offense for you to think that they're going to score 30 anytime soon? 30.
No.
There were 14 teams, and there were four games where both teams scored 30. And it's not like the Eagles have played the top defenses of the league. They played a pretty damn bad defense last week in Cincinnati, and Washington's isn't good. You scored 17 in the first half and got blanked the rest of the way.
How did Buffalo do against the Rams defense?
Yeah. Yeah, they scored 30 plus and won.
I mean, you know, it's in front of you. Now, bad news, Jeff McClain, who will join us coming up a little bit later, just tweeted that Dallas Goedert's ankle is not sprained but fractured.
Oh, wow.
And he will be out an extended period of time.
Now the question is, do you go 11 personnel or do you force 12 in there still and go with like Richard Rodgers as the
other
guy?
Well, it's funny you say that because, you know, their whole offense is predicated on 12.
Yep.
And now you're missing a huge piece. Now Rodgers is a good blocker, but it's hard to go 11 when you got the receiving core that you do.
Right. Well, if Deshaun can stay healthy for once. Apparently he was good enough to play.
Yeah, but
they just want to be careful with him.
But how in the world?
I'm tired of being careful.
Yeah, but you can't count on him. That's the problem. Like, you're going to, you can't count on him.
He's become Jason Peters at receiver.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or he doesn't even finish games.
Yeah. And, you know, you don't even have the kid that hurts for a few more weeks. Yep. And Rager. So now, you know, thank God for Greg Ward, who, that poor kid gets no love.
No.
And all he does is catch the ball. But he's your most dependable guy right now. Right? I mean, Hightower, and he's young, and he's going to get thrown into the fire.
Yeah, learn quickly.
Well, you know, it's not fair.
No, it's not.
To expect certain things out of Hightower, but he's going to have to play.
And now.
And his Arcega Whiteside is just awful.
Man, people are going to celebrate
whatever
when Alshon comes back. That's where we're at. People are going to celebrate Alshon Jeffrey coming back.
Right. And here's the thing. Who knows what he's going to be
like? Well, yeah, he could go out there one route and we go, oh boy, yeah, he sucks.
He's coming off Liz Frank, so. Yeah.
But the day that we see Alshon Jeffrey will play, a lot of people are going to talk themselves up into thinking, oh wow, this is the boost that they need. When for the last 2 years, he's been running on one leg pretty much.
And here's the thing. Watching the Ravens last night, I mean, they don't have a prayer against them.
No. Yeah, the Whitesnakes got to travel around with Lamar.
Lamar Jackson, how does he not eat up this defense?
Is it 50 burger? Is that a possibility?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I could see him wearing a baseball cap in the fourth quarter. I mean, that's tough.
That's scary to be thinking about 3 weeks in.
Right. And before that, you got to deal with San Fran, who I thought, well, all the injuries, maybe they're vulnerable, but they just trounced the Giants.
Yeah, and my first thing is, are the Eagles much better than the Giants?
Right.
Right? Like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I would like to say so, but are they much better?
Right.
No.
And then you got Pittsburgh. That's a good defense.
Had another good win last week.
It's a good team. Can run the ball with James Conner.
Mm-hmm.
You got, you know, a couple great receivers. Really good receivers. Man, and you know what's amazing watching the Chiefs last night? Is that Edwards-Helaire, he got in the end of the first round.
Yep, 32nd. And he was probably like, oh, all right, BWS 2.0, I got him.
I mean, he's their, like, they drafted him at the end. He won the Super Bowl and then got a cog, like a legit cog in their offense. Oh, God. It shows you. Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman. Look at the picks.
Yeah. And we go 12 personnel and old aging players. I mean, that's where we're at.
I'm.
These contracts, a lot of these contracts really hurt this team.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's an indictment on Howie.
Yeah. But it also goes back to the drafting to be number one, right?
That's why you have to pay old players.
I brought up the Phillies farm system and you correlated with the Eagles and you were exactly right because. Yeah, we'll do it like we do probably once a month, but we'll go over the drafts again today and look at them and go, see, this should be bad. He should be this guy. And you know, meanwhile, you got holes.
Yeah, and when I did post game with Bob after the Rams game, I remember just saying, like, where's our fifth round pick that is a stud? Like, I see that all over the place around the league. Yeah. I know a lot of the times some of these players fall because they have off the field issues and that's why they drop in the draft. But like, I like Miles Sanders, love Miles Sanders. But I see running backs getting drafted fourth, fifth round who are putting up the same production as Miles Sanders. You know what I mean? Like, I go, maybe you could have, if you hit on one of those running backs in the fourth, fifth round, if you don't draft Danelle Pumphrey in the fourth round a few years
ago. Well, that was the year. I mean, here's the thing. I like Miles a lot.
Yeah, I really do.
The problem is he's not he's a tick below the workhorse back, right?
Yes.
So, and I love the kid, so I'm not criticizing here.
No, and I love the pick.
Okay, but had you gotten Dalvin Cook like I was begging him for in the second round 2 years ago, mm-hmm. or whatever it was, 3 years ago now, that's your answer, because that's a guy that can carry the ball 20-plus a game, right? Like, that's the sturdy guy. I don't want to complain because...
No, I like Miles Sanders.
I do, too. So I don't want to, you know, it just, that turns into this guy and turns into the linebacker and, you know. It's another day in hell. Let's get together. Commiserate. It's Cuz Radio with Chunes. We're just getting started. 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
10:30.
How's everyone doing?
Good morning. What are you doing? Come on, man. I don't need to hear from Nick today.
I'm just looking at one of our calls on the line.
Let's make some noise. Come on.
Oh, that's great. Oh, my God. That can't happen, but we'll talk to the guy. Oh, man. Drew in Willingboro gets us started. Drew, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Good morning, Drew. Hello, Drew.
Hey, Ann, can you hear me?
I got you now, buddy. What's happening,
hey,
brother? Sorry. That's all right.
Yeah. Hey, Ann, just like, I remember when we first got Wentz. You was a big Wentz fan, me and you both.
Yeah, I still am.
And I still am, too. And listen, and when you look around the league at the other elite quarterbacks, they're not going through these problems. Just like you were just saying, Mahomes is not going through, oh, can he trust throwing the ball to a J.J. Arcega-Whiteside? They don't have a J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. You know what I mean? They don't have issues on their offensive line. You don't see Brady going through this. Even Eli Manning. Manning had a few seasons where he had a weak offensive line, but the top quarterbacks in the league, you consistently see that they're playing with ballers. Wentz is not playing with nobody. And, you know, don't get me wrong, he has to play better. He absolutely has to play better. But to do this to him is just outrageous to me, man. To miss you completely miss on DeSean Jackson. Y'all invested money in DeSean Jackson. He's garbage, clearly. I mean, he's not garbage, but he can't stay on the field. Yo, had Alshon lingering around here for the last 2 years for what? You know what I mean? You should really have DK Metcalf right now and CD Lamb if you're really going to be honest.
Right.
Imagine if Wentz is playing with DK Metcalf and CD Lamb right now. Can y'all just imagine that for a second? We wouldn't even be saying any of the things that we're saying right now. So for me, it's like, man, look, I'm pissed off with Howie Roseman and these guys, because I really don't think Wentz went from elite top five quarterback after these last few years to us talking about him being a backup quarterback. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. Ridiculous. I mean, you know, here's the problem, right, is that he's got dramatic flaws, and they're made worse. Because I think his problem is all confidence-based, right?
Right.
It's
right.
Like, you know, it's like a bad shooter. He's a shooter, right, in the NBA?
Right.
And
right.
He just can't make anything. And he's in a bad slump. And he don't have the AI mentality of, who cares? I'm just shooting him, right? Like, I'm going to score. He takes it to heart, and that makes it worse.
Yeah, man. But it's just like, for him, it's like, if I'm him, I'm looking at the organization like, I really don't have no support, because I don't understand why how you guys can't bring players in here that I can ball with. Like, it's ridiculous. Out of all the players on the offense, he really can only trust Zach Ertz and Miles Sanders, maybe Dallas Goedert to an extent. I mean, that's ridiculous, man. Just like y'all was just saying, listen, the whole offense is predicated off of 12 personnel. Why? You got a quarterback. You have a quarterback that can make every single throw on the field.
Except, you know, you're right. Listen, I agree with you. Except right now, I mean, he's killing him, right? So it's hard to even have that argument because he's in such a bad slump. Like, the two throws were awful, right? Like, actually, three of them.
Yeah.
Like, you can't even defend it. And I love the kid, but you can't defend the throw to Ertz, which was to the wrong side.
Yeah.
You can't defend the first interception because it would have got picked off even wasn't tipped. And you can't defend the miss to Sanders. Like, come on,
dude.
And he kills us, right?
I know.
He kills us.
I hope he don't go out like this, man. I really do.
I know.
I don't, man.
I agree.
Listen, I was calling him. You got to understand how I feel. I was calling him John Elway 2.0, man.
Yeah.
I was calling Wayne Elway.
Yeah, me too, man. I thought the same thing. I thought the kid was the truth, man. I really did. And I still think he's got skills and ability.
Right.
And, you know, listen, 75% is, I'll go like this, 50% is on him, right?
Yeah,
25% is on, or 30% is on the weapons around them, and 20% is on the coaching.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I can agree with that, man. But, yeah, thanks for taking
Hang in there, man. Drew. You know, always a pleasure, brother. Always a pleasure. Would you agree with that? Kind of, if you're going to hack up blame, the Wentz pie blame, would you agree with that?
So you went 50 for Wentz.
Like 50% is him.
Yeah.
Right?
And then the rest.
Not confidence.
I hate Doug's game planning. I do. But you still got to execute some of the throws that are open.
Well, that's why, to me, 50's on him.
So what, you go?
I went 50 on him. 30 on the insufficient weapons.
Yeah, the personnel.
And 20 on the coaching staff.
Yeah, I mean, I would throw a percentage at the offensive line, too, because week one, I mean, he got sacked 8 times. Well, I know a few of them were on him, but week one, they were terrible. And last week, they were bad. The offensive line was awful last week. It really was. Not as bad as week one, but it was pretty damn bad last week.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that goes to personnel, right? I mean, that's one big...
Right.
Personnel thing. You want to go 50, 35, 15? I don't know. Whatever. But, yeah, I mean, obviously.
But does Doug only get 15%? Like, I think Doug, like, it should be higher for Doug, too.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't know. 50, 25, 25, 33 across the board. However you want to splice it. You know, I just put him at the top because it's him. Right? Like, you can't. And I love him, right? And I root for him. And I'm getting crushed by like friends of mine, right? But I can't sit here and defend some really bad throws. And I want to. It irritates me. It drives me insane because I know the kid's good. I know the guy is actually a player. But what good is it if you can't put it together?
Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy.
Whether he's in his own head. Whatever it is. I mean, I don't think he sucks because we've seen him play.
But then what I don't get is, and we've been pointing out the Miles Sanders overthrow, and 100% deservedly so, but he also made the throw on the other side of the field to Greg Ward for a touchdown. Is it just that side of the field? Like, remember, Greg Ward's touchdown, he was streaking down the sideline wide open, and he hit him in stride. It was perfect ball. Sanders wasn't wide open, but he had probably 4 or 5 yards in front of his defender. And he overthrows him by 5-6 yards. And now I got Harry Hustle on Twitter is sending us his scouting reports from 2015 from many different news sources. And he's like, look, nothing's changed. The weaknesses are still there. I go, well, you know, what can I say at this point?
Listen.
It's just crazy that he overcame those weaknesses in 2017. And then he just it went downhill.
Well, you know, part of the weaknesses, again, I don't know, right? Like, I don't know. What's he referring to? What are his weaknesses? What is he saying?
Let's see. This one was from SI.com.
Uh-huh.
And it says, though he carried himself well and looked like a major college prospect during Senior Bowl week, strength of competition is a legitimate concern for Wentz. He didn't face a ton of complex defenses, nor did he have to deal with defenses loaded with top NFL prospects. One could argue that this is mitigated by the talent on Wentz's own team, but it's an issue nonetheless. Wentz isn't a consistent thrower on the move because he doesn't always turn his shoulders to the target and may lose accuracy and velocity. Needs to refine his footwork on under center dropbacks, tends to lock onto his eventual targets for too long, which we saw with Deshaun, which will lead to converging coverages at the NFL level. Needs to be more sudden and accurate on deep throws at times, and his reads quickness is an issue.
Yeah, I mean, that's all true.
Right?
That's all true. You know, and here's the thing. I don't know. We shouldn't be back to basics. We shouldn't be back 5 years into it, right? Like, you got to – some of the things that have had – he may always have mechanical issues, right, because of the way he's coordinated. He has to always work extra hard on it because he's always better on the move. When he's on the move, he drops dimes, right? Like, we've seen that. And he's got to work on his pocket presence. Now, I don't know why that's not fixed. I don't know. It should be fixed. It seems fixable because at times we see him, and he does have proper mechanics. But here's the other thing too. You watch Mahomes, and he's so special that it doesn't matter, right? Because he's got such a ridiculous arm that it doesn't matter where he's positioned, he gets it done. Now, Wentz has a strong arm, but I think Mahomes is all arm when he throws, and Wentz needs his legs. Would you agree with that? Like, he's more of a leg. Like, you got to get that power from your base. So, you know, if you watch this torque, sometimes he's off.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes he's back-footed. And even on, like, the screen game, he's not. And I get it. He probably has in the back of his mind his knee, his back, 8 sacks in week one. But that's also not a good thing.
No, it's not a good thing. And you can't have any excuse.
No, you got it.
No, here's the other thing,
step
too,
four,
though.
Quick three and out.
And I said this to you last night. One of the issues, too, is he seems like a streaky guy. I'm convinced that he's a streak guy. When he's going good, he makes all the throws. He could actually tease you into thinking that he could be Mahomes light. They don't move like him, but that he's got that kind of ability. When he's hot, right? Like, if you've seen him when he's hot, he makes all the throws. But when he's cold, oh, he's just firing bricks.
Yeah, come, you know, overthrowing some of these guys.
Right? And, I mean, no, that's, he's a streak. He seems streaky to me.
And we've seen it how many times?
So, it's why he does better in tempo.
I agree with you.
All right.
It's just something I've been calling for, I don't know, 2 years. That Colts game.
Again, same thing. And the other thing, too, is he very rarely gets easy throws to start it off, like to get into a really good rhythm.
Well, except for week one. When they go downfield, score the touchdown. But then you go, how come you never went back to that? How come you never rolled out of the pocket again? Right? That first drive was beautiful.
There's definitely a lack of spacing on the field. I think I texted you this last night. When you watch, there was a play. Do you remember the play? It was third quarter. And Mahomes, it's 3rd and 7. And he just steps out of the pocket, and he just jogs for the first down.
To the right side.
Yes.
Yep, I saw it.
All right. Now, why is that allowed to happen, knowing that Mahomes can hurt you with his legs? It's allowed to happen because of the spacing on the field. Because when you have, in the game, Tyreek Hill and Kelce and Watkins and, you know, Clyde.
Yeah. Hardman, pick a name out of the hat.
Right? When you have and that's a great defense, right? But you have space. You have the gift of space. Here, it feels, and it's felt like this for 3 years, that they play in a box.
Yeah, between the hash marks.
In a potato sack.
Between the hashes. Right?
Feels like it's almost, you feel suffocating watching their offense.
Like, when do you sense Carson being comfortable throwing down the sideline, except for the Ward touchdown?
Yeah.
It feels like he's such a, underneath guy, in between the hashes, go over the middle to Wentz, Scottert, whoever the tight end is. He made two beautiful throws to Greg Ward on slant routes. Remember them? They got 20 yards on him both times. Perfect throw. But it seems like as soon as he goes for an outside receiver, I don't know. Now, again, we've made the, I don't know if it was an excuse, whether it was real or not, he never really had a deep threat until Deshaun for one game last year. So maybe he doesn't feel comfortable throwing it downfield to Mac Hollins or Shelton Gibson.
Goes back to spacing, right? Like where the safety is.
Yep.
And how corners play you, where they're so easy to jump routes. I mean, how many times have you seen him, the corners jump routes on him?
Often.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, if you're afraid that guy goes by you, you're not jumping route. You're not gambling like that.
Right.
Let's go to Malik in West Philly. Malik, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Smack, baby!
What's going on, man?
What's up, cuzzo?
What's going on, my brother? How you been?
I know, man. Listen, everything's great, man. You know, just my Philly teams, I'm a 4-for-4, and I'm just going bad doo-doo crazy, man.
Like, I know. A lot of doo-doo in the streets.
You know, this guy is 5 years is so inconsistent and can't stay healthy, and you want to root for the guy, but he's not the one, man. He's not the one.
Yeah, you feel you're done. Are you convinced he's not the one?
No, I don't be turned around, but it's either you got it or you don't, man. You know, it's one of those things. You look at the quarterback, you look at, Drew and all of them. You really do, I don't care if you are a mobile quarterback, sometimes you got to throw guys open, man, and he don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
That's where he got to dig into the crate. Like, when times is tough, you have to make every throw. You just got to make them throws that count and put it on the money, you know. And that's what I'm not a Folesian, but that's why I love Foles. When Foles was hot, even when he was a little inconsistent, he dropped dimes, right? I mean, he throws the ball, guys, it drops right in the lap, in stride. They don't have to dive on the ground to get the ball. They don't have to reach back. Mm-hmm.
See, the only problem is you're right. I mean, he was certainly that way in the Super Bowl run. And then when he came back in the following year, he had a couple good games.
And we overlooked it. I went back and looked at tape, right? And being though he was doing so well, everybody catching the ball, the team was doing real good.
I respect Nick Foles to the nth degree. He's a borderline starter in my book. He hasn't done it consistently as a starting quarterback from beginning of the season. I don't know. I mean, is he he could be one of the greatest closers in the history of the game.
I think with this team, he was the one.
Maybe.
If Oshad didn't catch that joint, he might have brought us to another joint.
Maybe. I hear you. Maybe it's the magic that he had with Peterson. I don't know.
You know what it is? Or maybe this kid is just not consistent.
Well, you're right. I mean, this kid's different in that he's just not. Now he's in a bad way, right?
Think about it. If you're a good quarterback, what's part of being a good quarterback? Being consistent, right? Consistently being on the field. Consistently throwing guys over.
Uh-oh, I got bad news. Hold on, I gotta say this. Oh, man. Wow. The Tennessee Titans have closed team facilities after multiple players test positive for COVID-19. the Vikings, according to ESPN, have also shut their facilities down.
Man,
here's the story. I'll read you verbatim. The Titans have closed their facilities until Saturday after three players and five non-players tested positive for COVID. Diana Russini reported of ESPN. The Titans, citing, quote, abundance of caution, issued a statement Tuesday. The Vikings, who played the Titans Sunday, did the same, according to Chris Mortensen. Out of the abundance of caution, the organization decided to work remotely today as we follow NFL protocols related to the COVID-19 virus. Several tests have come back positive and are working through the process of confirming them. Oh, man, that is not good. So we'll see. Tennessee is supposed to play Pittsburgh on Sunday. Wow. That's not good. Now, apparently, they were already without Isaiah Wilson, who's a tackle, who was placed in the COVID-19 protocol earlier this month. So, here's the thing, and I'm guilty of this. Like, I watched a game last night, and sheer joy of just watching sports, and then you forget that the monster's looming. The invisible monster still looms. We'll come back. We'll talk about the ramifications. All your calls straight ahead. Cuz Radio Tune is 97.5 The Fanatic.
Andrew Salchunas here. By now, you've heard all about FanDuel Sportsbook's world-class sports betting app in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. FanDuel makes it easy to find and place your bets with some of the best odds you'll find anywhere. There are constant enhanced odds boosts, and they get your winnings in as little as 24 hours. Right now, new users can place their first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free and get up to $1,000 back in site credit if you don't win. That's $1,000. There's no strings attached. Place any bet you want if you want to keep the cash. Well, if you want to keep the cash, if you lose, you'll get your entire bet up to $1,000 back in bonus site credit. So you can take another shot at the end zone on the house. Of course, we just got some bad news from the league with Tennessee and Minnesota, but there will be other games Thursday night. It's going to be an ugly one. Denver and New York, the team in green. I like Denver to cover the 3 points. Arizona, they need to bounce back. I think they cover the 3.5 against Carolina. Go see for yourself why FanDuel Sportsbook is the number one sportsbook app. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started and be sure to sign up with promo code Fanatic. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code Fanatic. Must be 21 plus and present New Jersey or Pennsylvania. First online real money wager only. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires in 7 days. Restrictions apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, 11 o'clock hour. Wow. Tough. In case you're just joining us, the NFL scare is here. The Titans have shut down their facilities due to COVID. Three players test positive, five non-players test positive as well. So they have shut down their facility until at least Saturday. The Vikings, who played the Titans, they have shut down their facilities. So we'll see what the ramifications are and what'll happen. Remember, Tennessee, are they going to be able to play? What happens? And that's the big worry as to what will happen, and we kind of get lulled into a false sense of security, and here it is roaring back. So We'll keep you posted on what that means for the league and potential postponements of games. See, it's tough. Like baseball, you know, obviously they did the seven-inning doubleheader nonsense, but it still was able to eat up games. The NFL, you got one bye week, and sometimes they don't correlate. So that's going to be an issue. You know, if what happens? How do you then decide who's in the playoffs, who wins? Do you extend the season and have games played to determine?
It's a great question. And I forgot that they were actually in Minnesota. So now,
right,
those hotels and you know, they have to contact those, you know, figure that out. The team plane, they have to wipe that down. Because it's one thing if you're at home and you get it, you know, now you have to take care of all this stuff. Hotel, the plane, the bus, whatever they took to get to the stadium. The away team locker room has got to be cleaned out. Remember that happened with the Phillies earlier this year. The Yankees refused to play. I don't know if Minnesota, I got to see if Minnesota's home or away for next week, this upcoming week. But if they're home, now you have to talk to the team that will be coming to Minnesota. Hey, do you feel comfortable?
So I got the schedule in front of me. So Minnesota is in Houston.
Okay, so they're on the road. So that's probably the best thing for the NFL right now.
Yeah, Tennessee plays Pittsburgh. So therein lies the issue, man. That's scary.
Yeah, it is.
And what do you do? Again, you know, how do you make up these games, especially that sport where you only have 16 of them? They're precious. If they come into play somehow, you just can't go winning percentage.
And you can't, do you eliminate the bye? Like, let's say Tennessee and Pittsburgh doesn't play this Sunday. Do they then on their respective, I don't know, they don't have the same bye weeks, I'm sure. Maybe they do, but you know what I mean? Like,
right.
How do you figure that out?
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't know if the buys correlate. And if they don't correlate, how do you then figure it out? That's an issue.
You end up doing
certain games that you got to have to figure out where certain games are moved.
Well, you got to see, does it matter at the end? Which these two teams are, I'm sure, vying for a playoff spot, Pittsburgh and Tennessee,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So maybe you see come following week 17, all right, if they win, what happens? If
they may have to have like a COVID week.
Yeah.
Between the end of the regular season and
if necessary,
the playoffs,
yeah,
where any games that were postponed are played that week. I mean, it's not that big a deal. All you got to do is just
push everything back a week.
Yeah, you insert COVID week and then that's what it is. You know, the only problem comes is if you got, you know, teams miss numerous weeks.
Right.
Then that's an issue. But again, these are all things that you got to figure out.
I'm sure they have a plan. I'm sure they had a plan in place in case something like this happened.
I would think so.
Yeah.
It's the NFL.
Well, now here's the thing. So the Titans now won't be able to use their facility until Saturday. So they can't practice. They have no practice time for the Sunday.
They're going to want to cancel that game.
I don't know. I feel like they won't. If there's no outbreak, if it stops at three players and five, you know, members of the personnel, non-players.
If you're the Steelers, you go.
Yeah, but if they have multiple negative tests from now until Sunday or until Saturday night.
Dude, you're the Steelers.
The NFL will make them play.
You trust that stuff?
No, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, we've seen before about people misreading test results, the whole thing. So, let's keep it real here for a second.
I got you. But I feel like they're going to, the league itself will be like, no, everyone's testing negative other than those three players and five members of the staff. You're playing.
Yeah, we'll see. It's not fair. Also, if you can't practice, how do you play?
Well, that's the big thing.
Why you have
all
to
virtual? You know,
you can't practice that way. I don't think the league would do it. I disagree with you. I think they cancel the game or postpone the game. Coming up, don't forget our Fanatic football poll where we give away $100 courtesy of our friends at Parks Casino, Street Road, Bensalem. And we qualify you for the big prize, and that is the football pool, the baby pool, and all the prizes inside. You know, we add prizes all the time. Coming up at noon, I'm going to add a prize. I love it, too. I can't wait to throw this into the mix, into the pool. So we'll tell you about that coming up at noon. We'll have Jeff McClain join us at some point today. We have Jim Schwartz is going to be talking. He'll talk today. Listen, I don't know. I mean, the Sticks defense, I appreciate Schwartz as a professional defensive coordinator, right? I do. And I appreciate Schwartz for taking a bullet. I thought he was great last week and talking about what happened against the Rams. But it goes back to, and we're talking all this stuff about the offense and Doug and Carson and everything, but we're not really talking about the defense. And again, our DNA, and I'm not just bringing him up, right, because of my relationship with him, but I watched Mags last night again. And, you know, he don't have a lot of money. They have a lot of money tied up on offense. I know what is tied up on defense with Spags. I know the personnel on defense. He's got a couple decent players, but that unit is not a high-priced Cadillac of a defensive unit that you're paying for. And I watched how he had them playing last night and the pressure. Look at how he pressured Lamar Jackson. Look at his array of blitzes.
It didn't matter what down.
And look at how look at the array of them, the different kinds of blitzes that he used. All those pressures. I'm not going to, you know, belabor the point, but I can't take Sticks defense. It's not in our DNA. We're about pressure. Hey, several. Listen, Spags been doing a long time. He's got burnt his share of times. But he's got creative blitz schemes, and he's about deploying them. You can talk about, you know, being a gunslinger. He'll deploy those blitzes, deploy those pressures. And look at the difference he made last night. They completely own the Ravens now.
Yep.
And so when they play again, that's in Lamar's mind. Like, the only team I can't beat is Chiefs. That's why I hate this I hate the scheme.
No blitzing and Sticks defense.
Yeah.
And Nick Gary.
Nicky, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Nick.
Gentlemen, how are we doing this morning?
Nicky.
I was in a good mood waking up this morning because, you know, I got over yesterday, you know, we got over Sunday. But the problem is, you get into overtime, right? And I'm flipping over to the other game just to see because, you know, I got a little, you know, little cabbage, little escarole on other stuff. And right. I'm like, well, what game are they jumping to? And they go overtime Atlanta, which I had. And there's Nicky Six. And so you're trying to enjoy Wentz, and he ran a touchdown in. It was such a horrible game, offensively, defensively, quarterback, coach, you know, everybody. GM had a horrible game, even though he wasn't on the field. And they're throwing Nicky Six in your face. And then you find out what's going on. He throws three touchdowns in, you know, less than 5 minutes, and he brings them back, and he wins the game. And you're still struggling through overtime with three possessions. Then that game goes off. You know, I put on 97.5 to listen. I still got, you know, another game on now. So now I'm watching Dallas and Seattle. And you go through the struggles of watching those games and players you could have had and plays they're running going, yeah, Carson could do that. Yeah, Doug can call that. And then that game's over, right? And then you go Green Bay, New Orleans. And then you go KC, Baltimore.
Yeah.
And you're like,
yeah.
You're like, well, am I in a AAA league? Like, did my coach just get relegated up from AAA? And that's why he's behind the curve, because we don't have the players and we don't have the budget, you know, like they do in Europe. Like, are we just a small market team and we just got dumped in here because we want our little market? And you get so frustrated, but I get over that. And then you knock me over with the news with the COVID thing. So I was in a good mood. It's National Coffee Day. I had an extra cup, but I guess. Let me say this. So, Mr. DB, Doug, right? Mr. Analytics, he's got 19 dudes on the sideline with computers up, you know, swiping left, swiping right, who knows what they're doing. And Mr. Analytics does, you know, like he gets lost because of that penalty. Like he literally doesn't, he gets confused because, all right, we're going to try this long field goal to win it. Oh my God, we're out of field goal range now because of the penalty. Oh, what do? I can only punt the ball now. Well, yeah, you know, true, but what you could have gone is 4th and 12, but it's not even rehashed that.
Well, he said it. Here's the problem, right? He says on second thought, I should have went for it. That's an issue because, you know, listen, I appreciate Doug's honesty. I do. I mean, I think he's an honest guy and he's a good guy and all thing. But the problem is that means you're not thinking quickly on your feet.
Right.
And we've talked about that before about some of his game managing ideas.
You highlighted that for 2 years.
So it would have been better off because, listen, I can construct an argument as to why you punt. Right? I can do it
now. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And you might not like it, but it does make sense. Like, I could say, listen, the tie is better than the loss.
I'm playing in the...
Exactly. So he probably would have been better served had he just said, listen, I didn't want to risk the season. 0-2-1 is a lot better than 0-3. We got an extra playoff spot and... You know, this is about making the playoffs. All right? And you go, all right, well, I don't really like it, but...
I respect it. Yes. I respect the train of thought and what the effort you put into making that decision.
Yes. No, Nikki, great stuff, my brother.
Well, so one more quick thing. I mean, Analytics says, you're half a game out and we should all be happy. But like you always say, the eye test and the heart test and the mind test tells you this team is light years talent-wise behind...
Yeah.
The top 5 or 6 or 7 in the NFC, and that's what's sad.
Yeah, I mean, like, listen, if we're going to do power rankings, we'll go through them just as an exercise. And, you know, I mean, where they lie, just off the top of my head, they got to be late teens.
There's a lot of teams that played on Sunday that look a lot better. And just offensive play calling, just much more interesting.
Yeah, I know.
Even if you don't have the talent, sometimes the Chip used to say, scheme can break players open because the defensive players are getting confused when they don't see something for the first. When they see something for the first time, and the X and O like works well.
Yeah, I agree with you. They get confused. Not a quarterback has to get his head right, but I Nikki, great stuff, brother. Thank you. Peace. I agree. I mean, he's right. The only thing is that with hamstrung, it's amazing how all three are just tied together, right? Because, you know, Doug may not be the most creative guy out there, and he may not be the quickest thinker on his feet during the game, but he's got a quarterback who can't, you know, who's killing you, right? And I can say whatever I want, that, well, I'm not in love with Doug's offense. Hey, he called that play to Sanders was a great call.
Yeah.
He set it up. It's a great call. It's a great play. It's a great call. He dialed up a winner, right? So... there's only a limit to what blame, how much blame he gets as a play caller. I mean, I think he should have won tempo. There's a lot of different things he could do. But he did dial up the Sanders play, which should have won the game. And then both Doug and Carson are killed by Howie and the roster. Because the roster just isn't good enough. You, again, go to the best teams in the league and just compare rosters. And you go, Eagles are subpar. And that leads me back again to the Hurts pick, which just is mind-boggling. I don't need to belabor it, but, and then you force him into the game. Like, that's ridiculous.
People got Alex Slay, you got a first down.
It's ridiculous.
It is. It's just like Taysom Hill in New Orleans.
It's silly. It really is. You're just trying to justify the pick, and it doesn't work. You're better off getting real skill people than going, you know, with a gimmick quarterback that, you know, probably won't throw it, but is in the run read option. What is that?
I don't know, man. By the way, I just want to give a little update. This is from Dan Graziano, ESPN. Per sources, Vikings won't be back in their facility until all their test results are in. That's obvious. But league contact tracing has identified 48 close contacts with the 8 people who tested positive in Tennessee. Contingency and rescheduling plans are obviously being discussed. 48, big number.
That's a big number. Yeah. It's a big number. Not good. Bill in Florida, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Billy! Bill!
Hey. Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's happening, on, Billy?
I was cleaning pools, and I had you on speakerphone. You made me wait so long.
I'm busy, dude. I'm sorry, man. It is what it is.
Hey, that's fine, man. I just like to hear you. I love your station.
Thank you, buddy.
I love your show.
Appreciate it.
I bought a Wentz jersey. Okay, I paid $300 for an authentic Wentz jersey. So when he came, I was really excited. But I was pissed off when they traded Nick, a few years before. So when he came back, it was redemption. I mean, it was awesome.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm so excited for him right now. I want to see Chicago go.
Yeah. So you know what's funny, Bill? I think there's going to be a lot of people in this town that will become Bears fans, especially with the Eagles kind of maybe teetering on being out of it. There's going to be a lot of Bears people, a lot of Bears rooting going on.
Yeah, I think you're right. I have a happiness in my heart for him.
I'll tell you, that's a nice thing that you feel that way. I mean, it really is. I think that's a nice thing that you feel that way.
I felt like he never should have been traded. Even if he played bad, okay,
the first time.
Well, yeah, I mean, we lost to the Redskins, I think they beat us out of the playoffs. But, I mean, now we saw, we'll be back because we have a tough quarterback.
I hear you. I mean, I wasn't the biggest Foles fan, so, you like him more than I do. And it's undeniable what he is as a, came back in and rescued the season, won the Super Bowl. I mean, there's no need to even go back because we know what he did. His accomplishments.
I believe he makes players play better too.
Yeah,
I think he has an attitude. I think he's great for the locker room.
I think you're right about that.
Wentz is our guy, and I'm going to pray for Wentz. I think he's going to get his head back. I think it's mental. I think he might need to slow down a little bit, but I think he'll bring it to us one day.
I hope, man. I hope. But I think you're, listen, I think Foles, you're right. People love that dude. Like, let me tell you, like, having talked to a lot of people that know him, that played with him, they love him. See that warmth in your heart? He's a great dude, man. He's a wonderful guy. I mean, God bless him. He really is. People
love that guy. He got a raw deal in Jacksonville, but I think it was the curse of the number change. He should have kept number 9.
You got it, Billy. Thanks for being patient.
Thank you, buddy.
Take it easy.
I'm going to Disney World!
Now, people, listen, they talk about it. There's going to be a lot of people rooting Bears.
So I have a low-hanging fruit poll that we'll get to on the other side.
Okay.
Okay. Just be prepared.
Well, you're already telling me.
I'm letting you know that it's low hanging fruit. We have two polls. One's a write in poll, and it's about the percentage
love a write in poll.
Yeah, it's the percentage blame pie poll chart, whatever the hell you want to call it. But the other one's the low hanging fruit poll.
So how do you divvy it up?
What? No, the low hanging fruit poll is
the blame poll.
Yeah. The how you divvy it up, and a lot of people are even. It's not, 50% Wentz, and then the other guys get the scraps. It's a lot. It's even.
Well, I was just talking about it in his own struggles, not for the team. For the team, it is spread around.
Yeah, I did the 0-3 start.
Okay. Yeah, I put the owner there, too. And I think Jeffrey Lurie's a terrific owner, and he's a good, really, really good man, and he really tries hard. But, that front office, and he's got to stay out of football stuff, too. All right, let's talk about the uncles. And we'll get back to your calls shortly, because fall is just about here, and there's no better way to drive into a new season than behind the wheel of a new vehicle from my uncles at Family Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. The uncles are the best, right? We talk about, I tell you about how they're wisdom guys. You go see them, hang out with them. They're going to take care of you. They're going to usher you throughout the whole process of getting your new vehicle. And they got all kinds of great deals. And they know how to navigate that, right? All the deals. They've been down at the airport, all the mall, for three generations. Chances are they did business with your father. This month, Jeep Adventure Days. And that means you'll get big savings. Never been better time to drive a new Jeep of your own. You get on the road, start your adventure. You get this 0% APR financing for 84 months. So that equates to 7 years, no interest on select models. Can you imagine that? There's showroom open for test drives, curbside pickup. You can buy online and deliver to your doorstep. Whatever is easy, whatever you need. Just click, call, come down to Philadelphia's original Jeep dealer and shop these exclusive savings today. And just remember, at Family Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, what I always tell you, you're more than a customer. You're family. In the Philadelphia Airport Auto Mall, online at familyautos.com. See the uncles for details.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Across the Delaware Valley. Don't forget, new item in the football pool coming up at noon. Your chance to win $100 courtesy of Parks Casino and Sportsbook and qualify for the big prize. That's coming up at noon. Jeff McClain will join us, get a little insight on birds. I want to talk some Sixers at some point and see what you think about the coaching piece. And then we also have baseball. And I hate to say this, Andrew, but I'm really looking forward to playoffs. I'm actually, yeah. You and I are like, this is what geeks we are. Like, what we do on the air is what we do off the air.
Mm-hmm.
We were just talking about the playoffs off the air. Like, but today you got Cole against Bieber, you know, Yanks, Indians. You were talking about the A's and the White Sox. Like, you know, it's sports, man. It's love the playoffs. And it pains me that the Phillies are not in it. How could you not be in it? Tomorrow there are 8 games.
Yeah, today's only 5. Tomorrow is 8 games. Every hour there's a start, first pitch.
4-8 tomorrow. Like, imagine if the Phillies were playing tomorrow. I would have completely said, all right, whatever, clean slate, let's go fighting.
You get swept by the Dodgers. I don't care. You got your experience.
Like, we would have been excited.
Uh-huh.
There's 8 playoff games tomorrow, and the Phillies, it's inexplicable that they're not one of them.
And Klentak could be back.
Come on. That's just not right.
That can't be.
All right, let me get to Big Mick. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Big Mick!
Yo, what's up, man? What's up, man?
How's my man?
Hey, what's going on, man? The security guard is here. What's up, little bro?
What's up, big bro?
Yeah. Hey, yo, listen, man. First of all, I got to say something. The guy talked about Chicago. We Philadelphians. Man, I'm not rooting. I love Nick Foles, but I'm not rooting for him to win. That sounds crazy.
I'll be honest with you. I agree with that. I love Jimmy Butler, but I don't want him to win. I really don't.
That's like your household is in the upgrade, but you wishing somebody else you wishing the best of somebody else's household. That don't make no sense to me. It just don't make no sense to me. I'm a diehard Philadelphia fan. Ain't no way. But getting back to the Eagles. Man, listen. If you look at all the games, the last 3 games we played, I put on one person to blame. No, two people to blame. I blame Carson Wentz, and I blame the head coach. Because, first of all, Carson Wentz should be not missing throws like that now at this stage of his career. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're right. I agree with you.
Doug is like letting it slide too much for me now at a point. What is he doing? He's not working with him to say, yo, listen, you got to slow it up. He's going too fast. At first, they want him to get the ball out too fast. That don't work for him throwing the ball out.
Well, I don't understand this one thing, too, of Doug's talking about dumbing down the offense. Well, this offense, not exactly.
It's dumbing down at the high school.
Exactly. Like, I'm going, how are you going to dumb this down, the offense down more?
Listen, if you dumb me down the offense, that offense, when you was on the 45-yard line and the overtime game, all you had to do is dink and dunk it. That's all you got to do.
I agree with you.
Dink and dunk it. Even though he remind me of, and I swear, he remind me of Brett Brown with Ben Simmons. Them two, it's like, what's going on? We always getting these players that got hair problems. What's going on in Philadelphia? Stop getting these players that got hair problems. We need to start getting mean coaches in here. Nobody nice no more. We don't need no more nice coaches. We need to start getting a mean coaches that don't take this stuff. Like, you know what? You bench, bro. You're not doing this. You bench.
I hear you.
You bench.
Yes.
I don't care if I tell you $100 million. You bench, bro. We want to win. We tired of all these. We all cool. They got the same. When they interview them at the end of the game, they say the same thing. Doug say the same thing. I'm tired of hearing this. You know what we need to do? He need to say, no, I'm going to throw this playbook out the window. Let's get a new playbook.
Well, the other thing, is, like, I want to see a little bit more anger out of Carson, too.
That's what I mean. Like, I mean,
this whole, away from me. No, I want to see you die on the play. Like, man,
that throw
was awful. So,
Exactly. That's Mary life. But the way he coming to the game, he down, he running to the game, like, it's like, nah, it's a lot. Like, he don't even be like, come on, y'all, let's go. Nothing. It's like, I'm going into the game. Let's go. But you know what? Before you let me go.
Yeah, Big Mac.
I'm going to tell you right now. Everybody out there listening. Yo, think like this. This is Philadelphia. We always in diversity. We always going through some problem with the Eagles. It's never a good season at the beginning. Never. And I had this feeling, and it's going to turn around. I'm trying to tell you. We Eagles fans forever. E-A-G-L-E-S. Eagles, baby. Don't be scared.
Big Mac! Big Mac! I love Big Mac. Are you rooting for Foles to win the Super Bowl?
I don't think I can say that right now. If he got to the Super Bowl, I will say go Bears. But I'm not. Like, just because the Eagles are 0-2-1,
right.
I'm not going to jump on this Chicago Bears bandwagon and then root on the Foles train. I can't do that. Now, do you want the low-hanging fruit poll?
Yeah, go ahead. Give it to me. I know it's Foles related.
Yeah, it's on at 975 middays. And it is low-hanging fruit. I'm sorry, but I have to do it. Who ends up winning more games as a starting quarterback this season? Carson Wentz or Nick Foles? Now, that game that Nick Foles won was not the starter, so they're still both at zero. Now, I'll give you the options or the answers in a second. Poll of the day brought to you by Marvin E. Cann's Heating and Air Conditioning.
Oh, that's horrible.
I'm making you wait. Marvin E. Cann's Heating and Air Conditioning is open and able to assist you with any emergency service and replacement needs, including installation of air scrubbers and other air quality products. Visit MarvinEcanns.com today. 58% go with the Super Bowl MVP.
How's everyone doing?
Nick Foles, Carson Wentz gets 42% of the vote.
Hey, by the way, I think I take Foles too.
Because you like the weapons more and the defenses.
Well, they're a better team than the Eagles. I mean, look, here you go. You ready? Oh, God, I can't believe it. Why'd you do that?
Hey, listen, my God.
I got a friend of mine, I told you, Vinny, who, like, I cringe. Every time I see his name come over my phone, I cringe. Because he's such a, like, he's a spite dude, too. So, like, he's rooting for Foles over the Eagles. Like, without a doubt. There's no question.
Yeah, and
he's done nothing but, for 2 days now, since he came in the game, destroy Wentz and gush over Foles. I think he's secretly in love with Foles, but that's whatever. Here you go. Indianapolis Sunday. This is the Bears schedule. Win or loss?
You know what? I'm going to go with a win. Because the Colts had an impressive win last week against a terrible team. But I'm going to go with the Bears.
You say win.
Yeah.
I'll say loss.
If they lose, they come back down to earth, and we're not talking about this in 3 weeks.
Home Tampa.
Oh, my God. We got the rematch.
Yeah. You didn't know that?
No, I did, but I didn't know it was that quick.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Brady's going to do whatever he can to win that game. So I will go Tampa.
You go Tampa?
There's no way that he's going to let Foles beat him again.
All right, so you have loss, right?
Yes.
All right. I have loss, too. All right. Let's go at Carolina.
That's a win. I love you, boy. That's a win.
Matt Rhule, baby. He got his first win.
Yes, he did. But I think Foles wins that one.
All right. I'll go the same thing. All right. You got 2-1, I got 1-2. At Rams.
Well, I thought Peterson owned the Rams, but maybe Foles owns the Rams.
You got win? Do you really?
No. The Rams, they lost last week, but their offense is still putting up some crazy numbers. And I don't know, does Foles keep up with that offense? I'll go loss.
All right, I go loss. You got 2-2, I got 1-3.
Yes.
Saints.
No, the Saints offense, I don't know, dude. Drew Brees has not been impressive. I know they scored a decent amount of points.
You got Bears over the Saints.
I'm going to go with Bears.
You got Nicky Six over the Saints.
I'm going to go with the Bears. Here's the thing. The Bears are 3-0. Despite Mitch Trubisky being bad the first 2 weeks, the Bears are 3-0 because that means the rest of the team's stepping up too.
Yeah, who'd they beat? The Lions, the Giants?
Yeah.
And they came back against Atlanta, where everybody comes back on?
Yeah, well, that's true. Dan Quinn, how's he not fired?
So you got win over the Saints.
Yeah. That's when we start going, uh-oh.
So, I'm not a hater. I go win, too.
Okay.
All right? So, it's 2-3. You got 3-2. At Tennessee.
I'll go with a loss in that game. Yay. If everything's back to normal for Tennessee and their health.
I agree. Minnesota at home.
They're a disaster, Minnesota.
I agree.
So, Chicago.
I agree. At Green Bay.
Loss. They always play each other tough. It's always a good game no matter who's playing.
All right.
No, I'm just saying. But Green Bay wins.
Detroit home.
That's a Bears win.
All right. I would agree with that. Let's go Houston at home.
Nothing. Houston showed me nothing for me to say Chicago loses that game. So Chicago wins.
All right, I'll agree. At Minnesota.
They probably end up splitting.
Right.
So I'll go loss.
All right. Let's go at Jacksonville.
That's a W. Against his old squad, man.
Yeah, it's a lock. I agree.
There's 5 tutties against Minshew Mania.
And then finally, Packers.
I'll go another loss. 2 L's. Unless the Packers are locked in.
You have Nicky going
right around 500.
7-6.
Okay.
I had him going 6-7. Either way you cut it, Bears 10 wins or 9 wins.
Playoff team.
Playoffs.
And they could win that last
Therefore,
week. If the Packers have a locked in first seed,
will be in the playoffs and the Eagles will not be in the playoffs.
I'm going
to 2020.
Get it. I'm good. Hey, Carson, I'm real happy that you got a tie. At least it's not luck, you know what I'm saying? Well, you know, don't mind me. I just led my third team to a come-behind win, you know? I'm the monster of Midway now, bro. All right? Let's make some noise. Come on.
The ghost.
I'm going to Disney World.
The ghost. The ghost of Mickey Six. Ryan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ryan.
Anthony, how are you?
What's going on, Ry?
So, I want to talk a little Phillies because I've been hearing these reports that Matt Klentak might do his job, and that's enraged me enough that I had to call in.
Yeah.
I called you about a month and a half ago, you may remember, and I asked you what it was that Matt Klentak saw in so many of these bullpen guys, and just a lot of guys on the team, but specifically the bullpen guys that he would sign and that, you know, they would keep him around, guys like Velasquez, guys like Trevor Kelly, you know, the list goes on and on. And now I got to ask the same question of John Middleton of what in God's name have you seen in Matt Klentak since he's been here that you think he's worth keeping for another minute, let alone for another season?
Yeah, this guy
might be the worst general manager I've ever seen in any sport.
Yes. Think about it. Think about this for a second. They just had to beat, they had to get one win over a team that's already clinched.
Right.
They got
two of their aces, well, supposed ace.
Right.
Aaron Nola's not an ace.
Right, agreed. But still, you're going to win just one game. Oh, my God, one game, Ryan.
One game. But I gotta tell you, as far as I'm concerned, to me, making the playoffs alone would not have been enough for me to have not fired Klentak. They would have had to show me something in the playoffs.
I agree.
For this guy to keep his job.
Yes, and I agree.
The fact that they've missed, like he has done nothing to deserve to keep his job. Nothing. I've never seen someone who is more deserving of a firing than Matt Klentak is in this position.
It's unbelievable. It really is unbelievable. And I like Middleton a lot. Like I like what he's about. I think, you know, he really wants to win. I think he's a good owner. Like, you know, he'll be a good owner for us. But man, I hope to God that he just doesn't have this blind spot. I mean, he's got to wake up.
And then as far as McPhail, I mean, and you know, a lot of people have talked about this, but it's worth asking the question again. What exactly does he even do? Does he do anything for this team?
I know. He brought in Klentak.
Well,
come on. I mean, think about it for a second. There's a couple organizations, right, that you go, I want to pilfer guys off this organization, right? You have the Rays, right? The Rays are an amazing, whatever it is, that organization, they get things right. They have no payroll, and all they do is just one player after another player, right? Like they're always good. So that's I want a guy from there. The Dodgers, right? You want a guy from there? They go pick the Orioles. I mean, what in the world had the Orioles done? Like, I feel bad for poor Baltimore Cousins. How in the world they got to deal with that? And we go get a guy from that organization? Well, what sense does that make?
Yeah, exactly. It makes you wonder, you know, and I said this to you last time. Like, you hate thinking that you know better than the people whose job it is to make these decisions, but then you lay it out just like that, and it makes you wonder, like, what the hell are you guys thinking?
I've been in this business a long time. That is not an anomaly. There are some guys that are so good that, listen, I'll defer to them. They know what they're talking about. They know what they're doing. But there are a lot of guys in sports that don't belong in sports.
I agree.
You know better. Ryan, I go GM Ryan over GM Klentak any day of the week. Any day. I mean, it's mind-boggling to me.
What would you say you do here?
How about the answer off the Sixto Sanchez question and JT Realmuto? That answer suffices?
Oh, we got 2 years out of JT.
On what planet does that answer suffice? For real? I mean, really?
No, it does not.
Here's the problem. We have bad organizations right now. I didn't think it.
Roaring 20s, we thought. You weren't alone? I thought, dude, I saw all these stars.
You look around, I mean, oh, my God. How in the world? From
what? This is before Harper. You were saying roaring 20s, right? Like, we're all thinking, like, the farm system must be better. They tanked.
Exactly. I'm thinking,
what happened.
Yeah. They're a big market team. You got an owner that wants to win. How they're not going to win? Unless you're historically bad. Historically bad. Like, historically inept. And here's my question, you guys. If Klentak comes back, and I want you to have a poll around this, because apparently John Middleton reads polls on Twitter. What's your reaction as a fan? Come up with the four. They're dead to me. Whatever, I ignore them. Come up with four of them, because maybe Middleton needs to see that come across his desk. It's Cuz Radio Tunis hanging Tuesday, September 29th.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 12 o'clock across the Delaware Valley. Don't forget your chance at the Fanatic football poll. Be the fifth caller. 215-263-0975. You win $100 courtesy of Parks Casino and Sportsbook, and in the running for the big prize. I will also announce coming up the added prize to the pool. So your chance to win right now. Let's talk birds with one of the great, great beat writers in town. He's terrific. Really does a great job covering the Eagles from the Inquirer, Inquirer.com. Jeff McClain on the Comcast Business Hotline. Jeff!
Anthony, what's up?
So tell me about the layup. The layup throws.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, what I was trying to do was, like, so Doug would understand what kind of throws I was talking about.
Right.
And
exactly.
And he just was in no place. And I guess maybe,
game.
I fault myself partly on that because my job is to get answers, and I didn't get much of an answer. I just got a terse no as to whether Carson's mechanics are the reason why he's missing a lot of these throws. But that being said, Doug had previously the week before said that the mechanics had nothing to do with it. And just sounds like it's not something that he wants to get into. I understand that, but, we need some explanations for why a guy that we saw the last 4 years reach a level of excellence can't make basic throws that a quarterback should be able to make.
Yeah, no, I don't play them. I wouldn't have been in the mood to joke either after that game. All right, so let's tackle the Carson thing. From all the people that you've talked to, theories. I mean, we talk a lot about him being in his own head and the idea of his confidence. And he always seemed like a streaky guy to me, that when things are going well, he's just throwing dimes, he's playing perfect. And when things are bad, they're real bad.
Yeah. I think it's a combination of several things. Certainly, it's just the mechanics of his throwing. I mean, that's something that has been a problem with him for as long as we've known him. And it was there in college. I mean, accuracy was never his strongest trait, which is fine. He was good enough, but down the field, it's when he, passes would sail on him and just wouldn't be able to make some of those tight window throws. But we saw improvement, I think, in 2018 and 2019 in his mechanics, but it seems that he's regressed. And my guess is there's all these other reasons that are factoring into that. One being, the play calling. Quite frankly, I don't know if they're doing enough to put Carson in comfortable situations. Now, that also has to do with personnel. And you look at what the Eagles have, And in truth, they really haven't upgraded at wide receiver. And, you know, some of that has to do with injuries. Jalen Reagor has missed a game now, and he's going to be out for an extended period. Now, look, I know he's a rookie, but this is a first-round guy that you saw in the first two games was able to do certain things. And the Eagles were factoring him into the season. I mean, he was a part of the game plan. He was going to be a big part of the game plan moving forward. And you saw talent there. They still have the two same tight ends, so it's not like he doesn't have anyone to throw to, and he's missed those guys as well. But on the outside, we talked about them adding explosive plays, and it just hasn't been there, aside from really that one pass to Jalen Reagor in the first game of the season. DeSean Jackson's been kind of pretty much a non-factor, and now he has a hamstring injury. So personnel is another reason why. I do feel like a lot of the coaching changes that were made in this offseason could, in theory, have messed with the, Carson a little bit. You have too many voices in that room now. And does that benefit him? And I've talked to, you know, guys going all the way back to when Andy Reid was here. You know, the main voice in his head should be the quarterback coach. And then certainly the head coach and the offensive coordinator factor into that as well. But when in talking about consistency, about how to play the position, you want the quarterback coach. In this case, it's Press Taylor, but Press has also had new responsibilities added to his plate in being a pass game coordinator. And then there's this Jalen Hurts thing. And I don't know if this is the case, and I don't know if we'll ever know this is the case. But the way Carson's playing, it looks like he's a guy playing as if he's looking over his shoulder. And fair or not, the Eagles have certainly made this issue by drafting a quarterback in the second
round. It was the dumbest thing ever. You remember being on the show the next day? And me railing at you, I felt so bad for you that I was unleashing all my frustrations on you after that pandemic day. You remember that?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, ridiculous. How I felt about it.
I know.
I still understand it. And you could say this was the Eagles testing him. I don't know. I don't think that had anything to do with it. But and Carson is failing if it is affecting him. But why would you even place your franchise $128 million quarterback at the age of 27 in that situation?
Especially, right? It makes no sense, especially for two reasons. A, there's a dearth of talent on the team that you could use the second round pick to actually fill holes, right? You're like, there's a dearth of talent. Listen, if you're coming off a Super Bowl and you know, you got studs everywhere, all right, you know, take the quarterback. But you don't. You missed on bad drafts. So you can't take a risk with a quarterback. And second of all, I don't know what Jalen Hurts is going to be. Like, if it was Trevor Lawrence, all right, take Trevor Lawrence. But he was overdrafted in the second round. I'm sorry, he was. Yeah. I don't know what he's going to be. And then they force him in. Like, it's silly, Jeff. Why are you even putting this kid out there? It's silly. Like, you know he's going to run a room. And that's dumb. Like, that's stupid. You're just making things worse.
Well, and then what you're going to see, too, moving forward, is maybe more of him. Because right now, speaking of dearth, there's a dearth of talent on the offensive side of the ball. It's still skill position spots. So you're going to have to come up with plays, inventive plays, and he'll give you that element. Because it typically does give you that element, especially when you first introduce it. Teams are seeing it for the first time. They're seeing this guy for the first time. We've seen, aside from the one fumble, the plays have been relatively productive. But, you know, and it'll be interesting to see what Carson has to say about this. How do you feel about not receiving those snaps? How do you feel about lining up outside a dummy receiver? You know, does it help the offense? Does it help your rhythm? Do you feel comfortable doing that? So these are all, you know, valid questions, and questions that, quite frankly, are of the Eagles are there because of the Eagles' own doing.
Yeah, no, you're right. Jeff McClain, inquiry.com on the Comcast Business Hotline, does a wonderful job, and we always appreciate his time. It's so frustrating to me now. Whose bright idea was the Hurts thing? Was that Howie? Was that Jeff? Because Jeff has a lot to say. Was that Doug? Was it all the above? I just don't understand the logic behind it. Listen, Carson's got to man up. It doesn't matter who they took. But I would feel a certain way, too, if I look around and I'm looking at guys who I'm throwing to. And I got nothing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Howie has to own this. He has final say on the draft. So, you know, I haven't done or heard as much about, you know, who made this decision versus I know certain picks, the JJ. I know pretty much what happened with the JJ or Sega Whiteside pick. I know a few other picks and how they were kind of made. It's very tough, obviously, without seeing the draft board. But I have pretty good sources that have told me what happened in those picks. This one, it's a Howie move. It's a Howie Wowie, as I like to call it. You know, I'm going to outsmart everybody. I'm going to do something that no one's really ever done before, and I'm going to show everybody how it's done. And look, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe Jalen Hurts turns out to be the next Patrick Mahomes, a Lamar Jackson, et cetera. Although I really don't think I saw that on the field during training camp. He looked pretty good, I thought. Certainly better than Nate Sudfeld, and the Eagles have been justified in moving him to the number two spot. But this is, geez, I mean, who drafts for 3 years down the road? Because, again, Carson's going to be, barring something unforeseen, he's going to be your quarterback next year at least because of all the money that you've allocated towards him. So to me, just when you have, as you mentioned, all of these other needs, and you're just, I don't know. I couldn't wrap my head around it then. I still can't wrap my head around it. If Carson gets hurt, I mean, are you expecting your quarterback to get hurt? Are you like wishing he gets? I mean, look, I understand it's a reality with Carson that he does get hurt, but to me, you're just playing for the worst case scenario when you're drafting Jalen Hurts. If that's the part of the reasoning, and I know for a fact it was part of the reasoning.
Yeah, and here's the problem, right? There are so many problems, but again, when you fail in drafts past, you can't go this route. I mean, you just can't. Now, the other issue is if Carson goes down, I couldn't put Jalen Hurts in the game. It's not doing right by him.
Like, well, when you're a quarterback factory, man, you're just rolling out quality quarterbacks that can start right away. Now, I mean, it's ludicrous. It's hilarious that, you know, how he uses that term. And right now, their franchise quarterback at 27, right, the prime of his career is has regressed so bad that he's right now have the worst statistics in the NFL.
Wow.
But the quarterback factory is, I don't know who's running the plant, but he should be fired.
Well, what's behind this thing as far as the coaching element? Let's go back, and I know you've done this, and tell me when you got to go, because I know you got to go soon. The idea about Frank Reich and DeFilippo. I mean, is there anything to this? The press Taylor now, Doug himself, like, is he not being taught properly? Is he not coachable? Is it on him for not picking up all this stuff? Or is mechanics being off like this? What is it?
I mean, again, I think it's a combination of things. I think it's fair to point out that, you know, when Frank Reich left and John DeFilippo left, that Carson hasn't been as good. Now, look, he played pretty well in 2018 and 2019 down the stretch. He was a very good quarterback. So I don't think you can pin it all on that. But, you know, as I've written before and we've talked about before, you know, Frank and Flip had been around a long time. They carried a certain amount of weight, and certainly I think with Carson as well. You know, Mike Rowe, they kind of didn't see eye to eye, although, I mean, Mike Rowe in some ways I think is being vindicated right now. And then Press Taylor is, you know, when Carson first got drafted, Press is a quality control coach, you know, almost an entry-level position. They've kind of grown up together. And I've heard nothing but great things about Press, but these are guys who've worked with him. So, and he's never really worked anywhere else besides the Eagles. So it's tough to get a kind of a handle on really how effective he is as a coach. Certainly he deserves to be under the microscope with the way that Carson is playing currently. And as does Doug. I mean, Doug and him they're tied at the hip. You know, this was the guy that was drafted right after Doug became head coach. You know, Doug has gotten all the praise, you know, a lot of the praise through his first 4 years. So he's going to have to get some of the criticism for the way Carson has not been playing. I mean, when you're the head coach and in year five, you're saying that you got to unclutter your quarterback's mind.
Yeah, I
mean, to make the game plan simple.
You're going to dump down this offense? This offense is not exactly the height of complexity when compared to other offenses in the NFL.
No, well, no. I mean, it's not. It's been static. Frankly, it's just, if you watch the game last night between the Chiefs and
I've been talking about it. Yeah.
The Ravens, it's just like, holy moly. I mean, like,
yeah.
Look, they have better personnel, which is, so that's my whole point. It's it. It's just a bunch of things. I mean, this personnel, that falls on Howie, but the game plan, so it falls on Doug. It's a combination of the two. And then Carson's play falls on Carson. Carson doesn't escape culpability.
No, without a doubt.
He is not playing well. I don't know, but for him to regress so much, it just can't be his mechanics or his mechanics alone. I do find it interesting that he's got to say he's going to unclutter his mind. Again, it's a lot of these throws that Carson's, he's making the right reads on some of these throws. Now he's missing some guys too, but he's making the right reads. He just can't make basic throws.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you overshoot Miles Sanders by how much when he had a three-yard step on the line.
I mean,
you had Ertz again over the middle on a dig.
Oh, that was a horrible throw.
You had, I mean, these short.
The first one that got tipped.
That
would have been
behind. Yeah, that would have been probably intercepted. He missed Ertz again, obviously, on the one that was intercepted on a back shoulder. I mean, when you're talking about chemistry with young receivers, you've been throwing the Zach Ertz since you've come into the league. There should be no chemistry issues between you and Zach Ertz.
Hey,
that goes back to his mechanics.
Let me know if you got to go. You good or you got to go?
I'm pretty good. No, I'm good.
All right. I got to ask you what that ramifications from Doug's decision to punt. Because it's clear he's saying, I got no confidence in my quarterback that I'm not going for it on 4th and 12. I mean, his first inclination is to punt.
I mean,
yeah.
You can't leave him in a situation that you didn't trust your team to get against the other defense. To me, Doug just didn't show confidence in anybody, except maybe his punter.
And then he comes back the next day and says, hindsight. And that's tough because...
Yeah.
Now you go. What's
the owner saying?
Yeah, like you're not. We question how you manage the game as it is. Thinking
so
quickly.
You needed a day to figure that out when everyone else kind of we're all saying in the press box, "What is Doug doing here? Why are you just giving away the game?" I give Doug credit for admitting that he made a mistake. But I just still have to point out that it shouldn't have taken you 24 hours to figure that out.
No, and here's the problem. If I were him, quite frankly, I can make an argument as to why to punt. I could sit here and say to you, hey, this division is still tight. I don't want to take a chance on going 0-3, 0-2-1. Look, I'm still a half game out. I mean, this is about the playoffs. This is about extending the season. It's not about one game. I would have said that if I was Doug and stuck to my guns rather than admit, I should have went for it. Then you look worse.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I guess by the time that the Cowboys game wasn't over and you're not thinking about, you're not looking at the standings or other. But, like, again, you can retrospect say, okay, we went into the game one game out. I mean, this is a long season.
Monday. Don't go back over it. Just go.
Right. Oh, right.
Because Monday's when he flops. You're like, don't flop.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No. I mean, I guess, I've seen people do the analytics on this and say, how many times have teams completed third and whatever it was, or 4th and 12? I mean, the numbers aren't good. I mean, especially considering the way the Eagles have been playing. But to me, I just felt like 0-2-1 was the same as 0-3 where this team was. And if you needed to inject something into this team against it, I guess, quite frankly, one of the worst teams in the NFL. And I think Burrow's going to be a good quarterback and Burrow's going to make them better this year than they were previously. But, I mean, their lines on both sides of the ball aren't especially great.
Yeah.
And then that was evident by the way the Eagles were able to generate pressure and 8 sacks. You shouldn't be tying the Cincinnati Bengals with a rookie quarterback.
No, and I can't. I have to bring this up. Schwartz can't go sticks defense again there in that spot. Not against a rookie quarterback. What are you doing?
Well, I mean, I'll tell you what. I mean, it wasn't the exact. He said today, it wasn't exactly what you guys thought it was. Whatever. It looked like the picket fence. It was pretty close to the picket fence. And what it was they knew this. They and credit to Zach Taylor and his team, but they clearly had a play designed for that picket fence on 3rd and 15, knowing that he would likely employ it. And really, there wasn't really a bad missed tackle on it. They just schemed it up,
yeah,
and blocked the right guys and broke up. Who was it? Giovanni?
Yeah, Bernard. Yeah,
yeah, Bernard. Right through that hole. Yeah. You know, and that was. And of course, there were other plays later in the game where it was 3rd and long, and Jim went to another defense, and they were successful in those circumstances. I mean, you know, I give Jim credit. They came back the defense and had a pretty solid game, I thought. Jim's going to have some bad games, but he's also going to have some good games, too. Right now, Doug has
I'm just talking about the idea. And listen, I said earlier, he's a professional defensive coordinator, and he is, you know, a good, solid coach, and he knows what he's doing, the whole thing. I just don't like them. I just differ. It's a matter of taste with Jim. Like, I'm a pressure guy.
My guy
last night. Look what he did to Lamar last night.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, Spags did a great job. It's amazing how in 3 years the Eagles have gone from being that type of team to being this type of team.
Yeah, I know. And that's a shame. Jeff, thank you for your time. You know, we love you, buddy. Keep up the great work.
I appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
See you, buddy. All right, time now for the Fanatic Football Pool. And we're just adding a prize, all right? How about this? The Phillies triple play goes in the pool. Yeah. We got the baby pool. We got all kinds of goodies like the $1,000 cash from Parks Casino and Sportsbook, the fire pit from Landis Block and Concrete, the snowblower from Paul B. Moyer and Sons, the year's supply of snack foods from Hers Snack Foods. That's right. And all the little goodies and tchotchkes. And now, the Phillies triple play. Yeah. Aaron Nola autographed baseball. Rhys Hoskins autographed jersey. And listen to this. A Bryce Harper autographed bat. Courtesy of our good friends at T-Mobile. Your ticket to the Phillies with America's largest 5G network. How about that, man? That's pretty awesome. A Harper bat, a Rhys jersey, and a Nola autographed baseball. That's pretty cool. All right, now, let us go to our next guest, our caller, and see if he can answer this question. All right? Now, it's a pretty easy one. Monter in Swedesboro. Monter?
I was right here. How goes?
Nice to meet you, Monter.
My pleasure, with you, brother.
So I want you to get this right, and I think you're going to get it right. How old are you, by the way?
55.
Oh, listen, you're a lock. All right.
There's that Sports Illustrated cover, James.
All right. I'm just going to say I feel good about you. All right.
Okay. All right. That'll work.
I don't want to jinx it.
That'll work.
All right. Now, to get caught, first of all, you've won $100 courtesy of Parks Casino and Sportsbook. So that's great.
Yep.
Now, my man, we got to get you registered for the running. Here's the question. What was Reggie White's nickname? Reggie White, a man of the cloth.
Oh, okay.
What was his nickname?
Minister of Defense.
Yeah! My man, I love it. Where'd it go, brother?
Hey, thanks, mate.
You got it, babe. Hold on. There he is. He won the 100. He's qualified for the Fanatic Football Pool, Judas. I love it. All presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook, Pennsylvania's number one casino. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. We'll be back with your calls straight ahead. It's Cuz Radio with Judas.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
You have some water? Water.
Big Red, I need a lot more than water. Something a lot stronger than water, Big Red.
Emotional intelligence.
Not now. Not now. The only thing worse than that is... Go ahead. You played it earlier.
Carson, I'm real happy that you got a tie. At least it's not lost, you know what I'm saying? Well, you know, don't mind me. I just led my team to a come-behind win, you know? I'm the monster of Midway now, bro. All right? Let's make some noise. Come on. I'm going to Disney World.
That's actually pretty funny, I will say.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I'm saying.
That makes me laugh.
Bro, I'm Monster Midway now, bro. Oh, my God. What the hell are we going to do? Here's my biggest fear, is that they're bad for a while. Hey, we all watched the Cowboys and Seahawks. We all watched the Saints and the Packers. And we all watched the Chiefs and the Ravens. Does this team look like they play the same sport?
No.
As those other teams?
No. No, it they do not. I mean, they look like a team that is nowhere near that top class. Nowhere right. near. I mean like not even close.
Language, they look like a relegated team.
Yeah, which is disappointing. And it's kind of like when we started the show, I sort of coupled that with the Phillies bullpen. Because I follow this Twitter account where the guy shows all the movement of different pitches, and a lot of times it's relievers because you see these guys throwing 100 miles per hour, balls moving all over the place, and there's never somebody from the Phillies on there. The only guy that was mentioned this season, to my knowledge, was JoJo Romero. He finished with an ERA of 7.5.
JoJo Rabbit, baby.
But think about that. He finished with an ERA of 7.5, and he was the only guy that was sort of highlighted.
Wow.
Man, it looked like two different leagues yesterday.
That kind of sucks, man.
And it's going to happen today, too. We're going to watch some of the premier baseball teams play. And we're going to go, how come we don't have that? When you tanked for 5 years.
Yeah.
And the Eagles are just 3 years removed from the Super Bowl. You wouldn't think that they'd be bad.
No. Oh, Tunis. It's bad, Chunis. It's bad. It's bad, man.
It's not good.
You know, like, here's the thing. I don't know. Maybe I hope Jalen Hurts is, like, I hope he succeeds in the league. He's a great kid, and, you know, I really do. I think he's, you know, hopefully he has, you know, he succeeds. I just thought he was, like, more of a project for another team. Or, like, if you were going to take him in the third or fourth round. I don't know. I don't know if he was going to be there in the third round. He might have been gone, like they feared. But you weren't in a position, I'll say it a million times, you weren't in a position to do that, to just to waste the pick.
For a guy that runs a few gadget plays, for a guy who a lot of us hope isn't on the field. Because that means Carson got hurt. Now, Carson hasn't played well, but let's face it. Is Jalen Hurts going to go out there and rescue the season?
Of course not. I mean, I wouldn't even, I'll be honest with you. Let me ask you a question. God forbid something happened to Carson and you're looking at this, the rest of this schedule. Is it fair to put Jalen Hurts out there with those kids? With those weapons?
No. You would have to put Sudfeld out there and keep Hurts as your backup still. And still, maybe run more gadget plays.
Is he ready to play? He's not ready to play.
No. And they told you that. They told you that in training camp. Like, anybody, they said, hey, he's not ready.
Yeah. Brandon, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Brandon.
Fellas, how you doing this afternoon?
What's happening, Brian?
Because I think you hit the nail on the head. I think it's a complete confidence issue. I think, just think about it like this, and I'm going to try to get this out as quick as possible. You got a kid from a small town dumped into a championship-starved city, right? He was supposed to be the guy to get us our first Super Bowl. And he was on his, it looked like he was on his way to that, right? In his third season, he was having a breakout year. We're right on schedule, right, Ant? He gets hurt. And I'm not saying he didn't want Nick Foles to win a championship. I'm sure he did. But I also believe he wanted to be the one to win the championship.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're all human at the end of the day. He wasn't rooting. I know he wasn't rooting against him, but I'm sure he wanted to be the one to hoist that and to have that statue outside of the stadium.
Yep.
Didn't happen. He got hurt. Nick Foles came in and won it. All right. The next season, he gets hurt again after now following that act by Nick Foles, who played some of the best quarterback and you can play. I mean, it doesn't really get any better than that. And I'm a Carson Wentz guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So he gets hurt. Nick Foles looks like he's ready to do it again. You got to get rid of him. You got to get rid of Nick Foles. You get rid of Nick Foles. He has a full season, makes it to the playoffs, gets hurt in the playoff game. Guy can't catch a break, right? You get into the draft and you're not reading the room. What do? You draft a quarterback in the second round. What are you saying? What are you saying? Right? Mm-hmm. I just got over looking over my shoulder, mm-hmm. and now I'm right back in that same position. If I never get hurt and I am the franchise quarterback, this second round pick was the dumbest pick ever, right?
Yeah.
It was useless now. We drafted him for a clipboard, to hold a clipboard. It's dumb. It makes no sense, right? And you know, the second part to this is, you know, the thing about confidence, once you look like you're defeated, it's so hard to get that back.
I know. And it's my biggest fear, man.
And I can hear it in your voice.
You're
man.
Dead right.
I can hear it all in your voice. And it's that's the problem for me with Carson. It's like, Carson, you got to have that dog. I saw the tweet
yeah.
that was blowing up of Patrick Mahomes' girlfriend. You could tell that he's pillow talking with his girl about being the fourth rank or the fifth rank QB in the league, the top five. And he's not satisfied. He's mad that he wasn't number one. You know what I mean? And it's like, you got to have some of that. You got to have that fire. You got to have that desire. No, it's not going your way now. But, kid, you got to be a dog. You got to, you know, this is five seasons in. Forget about this young buck because he doesn't have nothing with him anyway. He's a project. He couldn't throw in college. I'm not worried about him throwing in the league. You got to just, you know, you got to have it. And it's either you have it or you don't. And
you are spot on. Brandon, you know, spot on. You're spot on. You can't go after that game. You can't stand up at the podium and be Richie Cunningham. You know what I'm saying? Like you can't do it. You first of all, you got to fall on a sword. You got to go, man. I made some of the worst throws I ever made in my life. All right, I'm so pissed off at myself. I can't believe I missed Miles Sanders. I can't believe I threw that ball to the other side of Ertz. Like, I mean, you can't be talking tips and, oh, well, I let this team down. We're 1-2-1, and I'm in the hole right now, but I got to figure it out. Like, I'm going to work hard to figure it out. You got to be a man about it.
And I'm not trying to ramble, Ant, but just think about it. In 2017, the weapons that he had, I mean, you had a good 1-2 with Alshon and Torrey. I mean, they weren't the best duo in the league, but they were a solid 1-2, right?
Yeah.
Then you got Zach Ertz as your number one option. You got a good number two and your 1-2 receiver. Your running backs was your third best option. All three of them. And Nelson Aguilar was your fourth best weapon in the team. You were good. And then you start, when you pay the quarterback, obviously, you know, people got to get moved. But to take that pick in the second round when you don't have no linebackers, you got one real quarterback. Your line is the pick. So, you know, you're not doing the QB any favors. No favors.
No, I agree.
And that's where the organization fails us,
yeah.
right there.
Yeah, I agree. That's great. Brandon, you're the man. Great call. You're exactly right. Here the other issue is. The other issue is, hey guys, what are we doing coaching-wise? Because we're focusing right so much on the offense, but forget about Schwartz and scheme and whether we like pressure schemes or not. Is that defense good enough? Like, we're not even talking about the off. We're not even talking about the defense and whether or not the defense is actually good enough, because they got no linebackers. And they're about to go and play teams that know how to run the football.
Yep. And your hybrid safety linebackers, Jalen Mills, who I don't think can go up in the box and stop a James Conner. I don't think he can go up in the box and keep up with Lamar Jackson. I don't think he can go up in the box and stop Ezekiel Elliott twice.
J.K. Dobbins. Yeah. Like, come on. Are we for real? Like, look at that. Look at that side of the ball. We're not even looking at that side of the ball. Because the talent's not exactly there either.
Your front did a good job this past week, but I don't know how great that Bengals offensive line is, because I saw Joe Burrow getting crushed by the Browns, too.
Right. And I like Malik Jackson and Fletcher's still.
Darius Slay had a good game.
Yeah, Darius Slay is a good player.
But then the other side of your field, Maddox gets hurt. But before Maddox got hurt, I always ask this question. What is it that people saw in Maddox where they go, oh, yeah, he's a player? Like, I know he had a couple good games as a safety. His rookie season, fourth round pick. So we go, oh, look, we got something out of the fourth round. But has Maddox shown you anything where you could go 16-game season? Yeah, he's going to be a great second cornerback.
No.
And he hasn't been good this season. It's not his fault he got hurt. Before he got hurt, he wasn't playing well.
No.
He got hurt on a play where he had to, come from behind and try to make the tackle because he got beat.
Yeah. No, it's awful because I mean, you start to think, you go, I don't know how good they're going to be for a long time.
Yeah, I hit on those
drafts. I mean, we talk about, well, I don't get it together, get it together, but I don't know if they're going to get it together. Drew in Westchester. Drew, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Drew.
Hey, Anthony. How you doing, buddy?
What's happening, brother?
Hey, man. The Eagles, that's what's not happening. That's for sure.
It's so bad. You just get bummed out.
You really do, Anthony. I mean, I'm for less for words, because at the start of the season, I would have figured we'd be sitting here 2-1, no problem. And now here we are at 0-2, and I hate saying end 1, it's like, so weird to have that tie there. It just makes me feel so unsatisfied. It's ridiculous.
I know.
But anyway, it all starts with Carson, and to see the regression in this guy over the past few years is just, I thought we were set, man, there, after for a good 10 years or so with a franchise quarterback, but it seems since he had that injury, he just hasn't been the same guy. I mean, he's had moments there of brilliance, but for the most part, it's been pretty ugly, and it's just this year I have not seen many bright spots. And to go into overtime game and to not play for that win is just—it still baffles me today that they went for a tie versus the Bengals.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like a tie versus the Bengals. What is that?
Yeah, I know, buddy. I know, and the problem is. Is that, again, I could argue and make the case that you got to extend the season, right? You can't have 3 losses. So the tie, as much as you hate it, still keeps you alive for the end of the season. Even, again, and I know it's not popping, nobody wants to hear it, but that's right. The argument to have once you punt. But Doug just did a 180 and goes, well, yeah, upon second thought, I should have went and ran a play on 4th and 12.
Yeah, it's almost like they didn't know the rules. Like, the game's going to be over in, 15 seconds, man. You guys realize, it's like there is no more to the game after the next 15 seconds.
Nah, they knew it. He knew it, but.
I almost wish he didn't, but. But anyway, man, yeah, it's going to be a long season. I don't think it's going to get any better. And then Nick Foles goes out and does his thing, and now we've got this whole Nicky Six and Carson Wentz controversy hitting us in the face again. It's a bad on every front, Anthony. It's just bad.
Yeah, pretty much. It's hell.
Okay. Fifth circle. That's all, man.
Thanks, buddy. Fifth circle, Drew. We're in the fifth circle. I can't wait till Saturday on the Tyrone Johnson show, Tyrone A. Johnson show. And he goes, and the false callers come out.
Oh, it's going to happen.
And the message, Ty's, oh yeah, is he going to win the Super Bowl? Like, I can hear the.
I'm going to Disney World.
Here's the shame, right? Like, and we all agree, Tyrone, Andrew, he's a great dude. There's nothing personal against Nick, he's a great dude, and he you know, again, he has a certain spot in our hearts and in this town. Undeniable. But he's not here anymore, right? And the fact is, you can't expect me or Tyrone or Andrew or Mikey Miss or anybody else to go, oh, let me root for the Bears. Because that makes it worse. Like, I love Jimmy Butler, but I don't want Jimmy to win it. I don't want Buckets to win the championship. Right? I'm rooting Lakers. I can't believe I'm saying that. I'm rooting Lakers. But the fact that the Heat win would mean it's worse for us. Because we could have been there had they been handled right. Like, had the situation been different, they're there. So it's like, oh my God, we could be sitting on it and going to the finals. So that's why I can't do it. It's spiteful, yeah, but it's not out of me being mean-spirited. That's I'm trying to explain it in the most real way. The most real way. I like Wentz. I don't think Wentz is a complete bum. I don't think he's an idiot. I don't think he stinks. I think he's having real trouble. And my biggest fear is that he can't regain it here. My biggest fear is that I can see it. I can almost see it. And Ty, you're shaking your head because you and I are right here. And Andrew, you know what I'm about to say, Chunas, that he goes somewhere else and he reclaims it.
Indy, that's what you or right? You brought that up yesterday.
Indy or Carolina or one of these other places, and Andrew, that would be a flat out sin. You know, listen. God bless Nick Foles, and again, I hope he has good success with Chicago. But he had to go. But you have a draft. You draft a quarterback. Like there was no decision. Every NFL team makes the same decision the Eagles did. I can't kill him for not keeping Nick Foles here.
No. No, that was still the right move at the time. Right? So if Jalen Hurts turns out to be this absolute stud and carries the Eagles to 10 Super Bowls, right? I would still say 10 years from now, at the time it wasn't the right pick.
Yes.
Foles moves on, may have all the success in the world. At the time, you do not keep Nick Foles.
Yes.
At the time, you continue to build with the franchise quarterback that you traded up from 14 to 8 to 2 to get.
I know. All right. Well, and like we told you before about the situation in Tennessee, you know, who knows what will happen in the future?
Great question. By the way, Jim Salisbury coming up next. We have a Phillies poll up that we'll get to regarding your Matt Klemtak question earlier.
Thank you.
I have that running till the end of the day tomorrow.
Very good. It's Cuz Radio with that man, the Chunas, hanging. Hey, let me tell you about Parks Casino and Sportsbook. It's my 4-for-4 Sportsbook and Casino of Choice. Street Row Ben Salem, home of Cuz's Corner every Thursday night. Hey, you got to download the app if you haven't. And there's a great opportunity. You download the app, parkscasino.com/PA. Use the promo code FANATIC. You get a risk-free bet up to $500. So right now, San Fran, 6.5-point favorite over your football team. The over-under 45. We got a great finals, Miami-LA. And L.A. 5-point favorite against Buckets in game one. They're 4-1 to sweep. I don't like that. Also, Sunday, you got all kinds of, you know, check out all the games and they have all the lines and everything else. You got baseball all weekend. We'll have some picks for you coming up at 1:30. So stay tuned. But go to parkscasino.com/PA. Use that promo code FANATIC. Get a risk-free bet up to $500. Got to be in Pennsylvania. You got to be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 1 o'clock across the Delaware Valley. Hang tight here in the fifth circle of hell.
I love Cap.
We got to talk a little baseball for a moment. Playoffs begin today. I'm actually looking forward to it. Tomorrow, 8 games tomorrow. Today we get the AL, and then tomorrow AL and then NL. And but we have pressing needs. And there's a burgeoning story that's we got to find out, get to the bottom of whether the future of the Phils is in hanging in the balance. And a guy who I love, who does an incredible job, great baseball man, covering the Phillies for NBC Sports Philly. I know he's got the answer. Jim Salisbury, or at least steer us in the right direction. And what's up, my brother? Happy playoffs.
Happy playoffs. Happy playoff, West Philadelphia.
Let's get right to it, brother. I hear the rumblings, saw the Brookover piece, and Bobby, you know, Bobby does a great job, and that Matt Klentak may remain as general manager of the Phillies, which makes no sense to me, Jimmy.
There's been no decision made, so he may remain or he may not remain. That's what I think of that. Okay. You know, there's been apparently no decision made, but I think you need to make one soon. My feeling on what's happening is if John Middleton was 100% behind Matt Klentak as his GM, wouldn't he have put the word out at 9 a.m. yesterday and snuffed all this out?
Yeah, that's what I would have thought, right?
Obviously, there's some indecision in the owner's mind if he has the right guy running the show. And the longer this goes on, this latest inquisition, you think his uncertainty is growing, whether he has the right guy. So the longer it goes on, I would say, makes me think that maybe a change is coming. But I'm not going to snow you and say I know a change is coming. I don't know, and I don't think anybody knows, and I think only John Middleton knows, and he's a very methodical information gatherer, methodical decision maker. I mean, we have a paradigm for that with the handling of the Gabe Kapler situation last year when he, you know, turned over every stone to make sure he was right, making the right decision, and then made the decision 11 days after the season. So, but, you know, we await this. And like I said, if we felt like, if I felt like, I guess if Middleton felt like Klentak was 100% his guy, I think we would have known by now. And but who knows? Who knows? I don't know which way this thing is going to go. But if they decide to make a change, I think it's completely justified, because it's hard to say things are moving in the right direction. And I'm not just talking about things you see on the surface. It's just hard to say everything's moving in the right direction.
Yeah, I'm so with you. I guess maybe I expected more of a rash move, like the Angels came out, they fired Billy Epler, their GM, like an hour after the last game of the season. I thought I would have the same thing. I was waiting. All right, where's the Phillies blurb that they have moved on from Klentak? I mean, how do you go into the last weekend of the season where you are fortunate, right, where the new playoff situation is, and all you need is one game, and you got Nolan Wheeler pitching, and you can't win a game against a team that already clinched?
And, you know, Anthony, you know, just getting back to the Angels and the decisiveness of their owner, very, very similar situation to the Phillies. You know, they have a marquee talent in Trout, Phillies, yeah, of Harper. Obviously, Trout's been there longer. They haven't won. But Billy Epler was on the job 5 years, zero winning seasons. Klentak on the job 5 years here, zero winning seasons. Klentak was in that front office.
Yeah.
And was passed over for the job that Epler got. So there are some connections, interesting little connections to those situations. But Middleton and Artie Moreno, the owner of the Angels, are very different guys. Middleton is just so much more methodical in his in his decision making. So I know he's asking. I think I know John Middleton and have looked him in the eye enough to know he's asking some piercing questions about what the hell is going on and what went wrong. And then the final week of the season really went wrong, because I do believe, and you can argue whether it was a right or wrong decision, right, but I do believe if they had made the postseason, then we're not having this vigil right now, that I think Matt would be back for another year, even if they made it with a below 500 record, which is a pretty sad commentary on a lot of things. But and they could have made it by just taking care of business in the final week of the season. I mean, that's second to last Saturday night of the season over at the stadium. Velasquez win pitches really good, and they win 3-1, and they're up they're in the seventh place position in the playoff grid, and with 8 games to go. And as it turned out, they only needed to win 2 of those games over the final 8, and they only won 1 of them. And then on the last day, if it wasn't like, you know, it was this parade of uglies between the Phillies, the Brewers, and the Giants, yeah, and then it couldn't have worked out better for them, because the Giants and the Brewers both lose, and the Phillies get shut out on the last day with, you know, Segura can't even run out of double play balls. Looks like they quit. It's very discouraging and very, very demoralizing that, you know, in a 16-team low bar postseason with a $207 million payroll with that lineup, and I know they were banged up. Hoskins was a big loss. Harper had a bad back. Realmuto had a bad back. But they shouldn't have even been in a position where it was a question going into the final couple weeks. I mean, you go down to Miami and you go 2-5. You were in second place then. You got knocked out by a team with 18 rookies and an $87 million payroll who sat out a week because everybody was sick. Basically, they, in that final week, they didn't help themselves because they didn't play well. But, you know, the snowball had gotten so big to overcome. And by that, I mean, you know, the snowball just kept growing and growing and growing. And that was a bad bullpen because they had 21 games that they lost that they had leads in. And 8 of those losses, they had leads of 3 or more runs. So you can all go back to, you know, the plight of the final week and the position they were in was because of historically bad bullpen and that they could not outrun for the bulk of the season.
I know. I mean, we've never seen that before. It's amazing. And, Jimmy, when you look at what's below, and you kind of hinted that, you know, it's not just what's taking place on the field. You know, when you start to look at the shape of their organization, I mean, I don't think it's unfair to say they need to be way further along down the road after all these years and wasted picks. And, what do they really have is really disconcerting.
I agree with you. They need to be way further down the road. Now that Boehm and Spencer Howard have graduated to the major leagues, I don't know who their top prospect is. I mean, I could give you some names, but
right,
I don't know who he is. And I'll tell you, it's probably a tallest midget in the circus type of thing. You know, it's probably not real impressive. So they are, you know, languishing near the bottom. They, you know, they haven't really drafted well, though I do tip my hat. Boehm looks like a very good player.
Yeah.
You know, 5 years ago, 5 Octobers ago, I sat in that press conference. I was very enthused to hear Klentak say he wanted to build this team through quote-unquote waves of pitching. I was in full agreement when Andy McPhail said you spend your money on bats and you develop your pitching.
Yeah.
I totally agree, because I think you need 20 pitching prospects probably to get 7 or 8 good ones to the major leagues, or 5 or 6 good ones to the major leagues. And, you know, in the final week of the season, Vince Velasquez is pitching one of the biggest games, you know, to get you to the playoffs. And, you know, nothing against Vince. He's got a lot of talent, but he has never put it together. He's never built any reason to really believe in him. And after 5 years, he's still in your rotation because you haven't drafted, developed, or procured anybody to come take his job. It's not Vince's fault that he's being thrust into that situation after pitching himself out of the rotation 2 years in a row. It's you haven't built enough pitching depth that Vince Velasquez doesn't have to be relied on the second to, or third to last day of the season. So, you know, John Middleton, when he hired Andy McPhail, had, to me, a remarkable quote. He said, Andy is being hired as the president of the organization. He will oversee the entire organization, but his focus is baseball. His mandate is winning, and he will give, be given every resource that he needs to make that happen. And it hasn't happened after 5 years. So it's hard to have faith in this front office. And if they make a change, it'll be completely justified.
Yeah.
And I'm just waiting to hear. If they're all going to be back, I think they should just come out and say it, and we'll be on with it. And, you know, we're going to figure out what's going to happen with Realmuto and Gregorius, and how you're going to get a center fielder, and how you're going to fix that terrible bullpen. And if they're going to make a change, let's get on with that and figure out who's going to come in here and fix this thing. You know?
I'm with you. Jim Salisbury, NBC Sports Philly, the baseball analyst, the Phillies analyst. Incredible job. I guess you're so right. And I look at this thing, and you bring up pitching, and the Sixto Sanchez thing just, it still bothers me. Forget about his answer, which was nonsensical, about how 2 years of Realmuto is worth an ace. If everyone knew that he had this kind of stuff, like generational stuff, I love JT Realmuto. I'm not making that trade. I mean, do they not know what they have?
Oh, they knew the stuff he had. And I'm going to say I probably still would make that trade. Because of where you were, you thought you were going to win last year. You thought you were going to win this year. You thought you were going to have a chance to re-sign him. You didn't think there was going to be a pandemic. I mean, Sixto, there was a lot of people around baseball that think Sixto projects as a reliever because of his stature, because of how hard he throws. They wonder how long he's going to hold up. There was never any doubt about his amazing stuff, never any doubt about his amazing command. But, and there was never any doubt about his talent. Everybody recognized he was very, very good. He was coming off a bit of an arm injury. I think they thought Spencer Howard was kind of passing him. That remains to be determined. But, you know, I think sometimes you give up something to get something. And they gave up a great prospect to get a really good player at a position they really needed at a time when excitement about around the franchise was growing, and they were going to sign either Manny or Bryce. And you thought maybe we're just going to, you know, get to the postseason this year and make a deep run and have a couple really good years, make a lot of revenue. JT's going to love it here. We'll go re-sign him. And good luck to Sixto and good luck to JT. And we made a real old-fashioned good baseball trade.
Right.
Despite Sixto looking so good, I'm not going to question the trade. Okay. I'm not going to.
I kind of have to, only in the sense that, now, again, this is, I didn't see him, right? Like, I got to, like, see him with my own two eyes, right? But if he's got stuff, and I talked to a couple of people that said, I mean, he had eye-popping stuff. That, and I hear you're saying.
He does.
I mean, they have generated so few pitching prospects. I mean, if you go through the years, I mean, they haven't nourished that position. And that position, which you even said, the new president said that we need to grow pitching. And they had no pitching. Hey.
You make all good points, and I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying,
yeah.
You had a chance. You had a chance.
That's
to
a great
acquire
argument. Yeah.
A 27-year-old catcher, 28-year-old. I think he's 27 or 28 at the time. Catcher, all-star catcher, who did a lot of things, and he has done a lot of things.
Sure.
The world just kind of blew up. Sixto's emergence to some makes it more imperative that they sign Realmuto.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what's going to happen. I'll tell you what, Realmuto's an athlete. It's concerning to me to see last year with a knee injury, this year with a hip injury. I would have to take a really good look at that, and we'll see what happens. But I still think they're going to be in it and try to sign him. He's a hell of a player. But it goes back to this. To get something, you got to give up something.
Yeah.
And I thought at the time that was a baseball trade that made a lot of sense. And, you know, we'll just see what happens with both guys. That to me, is not the biggest reason I think Matt Klentak's job is on the line.
All right, so last thing. Who do you like? Who do you like, American League? Give me your final two. I love the fact that there's four games today, eight tomorrow. I love that. I mean, the games all day, man. There's nothing like playoff baseball.
It's got a little bit of a NCAA feel to it, basketball, you know?
Definitely.
Yeah, hey, the Dodgers are a great, great team. They're built to win. They need to win. If they don't win, it's going to be a lot of disappointment. So, you know, that Tampa Bay team is impressive with that bullpen, man, and their starting rotation. I think they're a dangerous team. Those are the two number one seeds. It wouldn't surprise me to see that be in the World Series. You know, that said, we're going to see an upset in this first round with these three-game series, because somebody's going to dial up a couple great pitching performances and you know, shock the heck out of somebody,
yeah,
and send somebody home quick. So I'm looking forward to it. You know, it might be Cincinnati. They might take down Atlanta. They seem to be a team on a roll.
Yeah.
They got this Trevor Bauer who walks around with this attitude that, you know, I'm going to show you. And I think he would like nothing more than to flip off MLB by raising the commissioner's trophy, right?
He's
always been very critical of MLB. So
he loves that.
You know, I'm going to enjoy watching the postseason. I always do. But, you know, it's just unthinkable that a big, important city like Philly and big, great sports town with like Philly that has a $207 million payroll, that committed over $700 million to free agents the last three winters, that just came out of a rebuild before, right?
Yeah.
And they still look like they need to go into a rebuild in certain spots. It's just unthinkable and disappointing that they're not part of a really easily attainable 16-team field that they were in the driver's seat with a week to go in the season. And unfortunately, they made a right turn into a big old oak tree.
It's unbelievable. It really is. I still can't believe. I can't fathom it. I mean, in another time, it's a 64 collapse. I mean, instead, like, they didn't make the playoffs. Are you kidding me? Jimmy, you're right on, brother, as always. Listen, enjoy the playoffs, and we'll be definitely talking to you soon, okay, once the decision's made.
Okay, bud.
Thanks, brother. Jim Salisbury, NBC Sports Philly, checking in. So, Jimmy, make you feel a little better in that it's not a lock that Klentak is back?
Yeah, I mean, he made the good point that if Klentak was definitely Middleton's guy, he probably would have came out yesterday and said something. But it is, I mean, I don't know. Like, why is this how we run this business? It took how many days till Kapler got fired last year? Like, we were all waiting. Like, we were doing, like, day counts. We were like, oh, my God, it's day five, and he's still the manager. And are we going to be doing that with Matt Klentak as general manager this year, this offseason, where we start having a day count? Like, oh, man, it's been 5 days, and he's still general manager. How is this possible?
Yeah, I think we are. I think we are going to do that.
Now, history shows that the longer it takes.
In fact, I'm going to count the hours.
11 days last year, Tyrone texted me until Kapler got fired. 11 days.
What is it? What? I brought up the Epler thing in the Angels because when that hit, I expected the Phillies.
Me too.
What do you need?
Like, yeah, seriously, more information.
What do you need? You lived through it.
Failed your rebuild.
I mean, it's not just a failure; it's an epic failure with the money that you were given. It's an epic failure, and Jim's right. The correlation with the Angels is right there. Trout, Harper. Gigantic payroll. And you failed miserably, I might add. Like, you, and you're not developing any talent. How about when Jim Salisbury, whose only job in life is the Phillies, right? Like, my man is on top of it. He goes, I don't know who their best prospect is. I can give you names, but since Boehm and Spencer Howard are up here,
there's no lock. There's no, oh, he's definitely the top prospect.
After a team that went through a rebuild, that made all those draft picks.
Yep. Top draft picks.
All those, you know, go sign foreign players. All that. And they don't have a number one prospect that's out there?
Yeah, it's sad that Moniak's not the first name that comes to your mind.
There should be a half dozen guys.
Yeah, there should be.
That are vying to come up here. Listen, I like Boehm a lot. I really do. I think Boehm has a real chance.
Yeah.
Spencer Howard, I think, is decent. I mean, I don't think he's an upper rotation guy, but I think he's definitely can help you. What else you got?
Yeah, I mean,
I mean, you can't find any players.
What, Adonis Medina? We've been waiting for years
stinks.
With this
Stop.
Guy.
Stop. Stinks. You can't find players. That's embarrassing. I would be embarrassed if I was Klentak. presiding over what you have. You got diggers, using the analogy, digging in mines all over the world, right? All over the Latin basin, right? The whole thing. And you can't come up with what? You got one Latin player that you traded. What are we talking about here?
What are we doing here?
All right. Let's take a quick TO. We'll come back. Your phone calls. We'll get back to Wentz, the Eagles, Howie, Doug, Carson, the future. It's Cuz Radio with that man, the Chunas, 97.5 Fanatic. Talk a little Parks Casino right now in the sports book. When we check out all the sports book action, you look at it today, all the baseball games you got going on, you got the NBA Finals, so all kinds of fun stuff there. LeBron is the big favorite over buckets. See what you think. Think you can bet on the amount of games that are being played in the series? Like the Lakers are 4-1 to sweep? I don't think so. Lakers 5 in game 1. Be a good series. It's going to be interesting because both teams know how to play. I kind of like the Heat in game 1. I do. Plus 5. I'm leaning Miami on that one. Be interesting. Check it all out. All the action and your football Sunday, your football weekend, all on Parks Casino. Go to parkscasino.com/fanatic/PA. Use that code Fanatic and you get a risk-free bet up to $500 when you open up account. There you go. Up to $500. Check out the website. There's all the details. You got to be 21. You got to be in Pennsylvania. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Mikey Messenger started playing. We're a half hour early.
Mikey Miss is in the house. I just saw him. And don't forget, he's coming up next.
Not yet. All right. That was weird.
Yeah, it was weird. All right. Here you go, baby. All right. In case you just joined us, you know, again, we're diving into the muck, right? On the, in the fifth circle of hell where we reside, we're muck divers, right? So, you know, that's where our lives are about right now.
Not muckers and grinders.
No, just muck divers. That's where we are. We had on Jeff McClain, who, among other things, questioned the football factory. And we had Jim Salisbury on, who said that he can't even tell you who the Phillies' top prospect is. He said, not so fast on the Klentak coming back train.
That's good. That's good. And that show recap brought to you by Dietz and Watson. Dietz and Watson and family-owned Heritage Dairy Stores who make their hoagies with premium Dietz and Watson meats and cheeses. To find the area's best hoagies, visit DietzandWatson.com.
I can't help myself.
Now, do you want the poll that you asked me to put up regarding Matt Klentak and how fans would react if he were to return?
Yeah, why not?
Because John Middleton looks at polls, right? He looked at the Todd Zielecki poll regarding Bryce Harper and Manny Machado.
He's a pollsman.
So this on at 975 middays for Mr. Middleton, if you're listening. If Matt Klentak returns as general manager of the Phillies for the 2021 season, your reaction will be what? I have this running until the end of the show tomorrow. So plenty of time to vote. We're just under 1,000 votes right now. Your options. I'm still in. I love my Phillies. Boycotting out of anger. And probably the most damning one, they are irrelevant to me. And that has the majority of the vote.
Oh, no. Are you serious?
36% of the votes say they are irrelevant to me. Boycotting out of anger is at 34%. and still in I Love My Phillies a whopping 20%.
I'm surprised that high. Well, I mean, I don't like the wording. Nothing against, you know.
Okay, I'm going home.
I mean, that way, Judas. Come on.
Going home.
If you say, I'm in I Love My Phillies, well, that's you and me, too.
Yeah, but it's one of those, like, oh, regardless of what goes down, I love my Phillies. Like, that means, like, you're watching during the Drek seasons of the mid-90s, too. When you shouldn't have been.
All right. VG says, whatever you do, make sure you tag at Phillies so that we can make sure we get the owner to see the result.
Yeah, we should, but somebody might complain about it.
Oh, come on, Cabot. Stop. Come on now. Let's be real. I mean, how in the world can he come back?
Dude, I don't know.
I can't.
I could go on 6 hours as to why he shouldn't.
I mean, I'm at a loss sometimes. I go, are you serious? Bad enough. I think back on it. How does he do a one? How does Doug do a 180? And I'm watching Andy last night. And I'm sorry. I apologize because I enjoyed a great football game last night.
Yep.
It was Mahomes, V. Jackson, and it was brought me back to Brady v. Manning. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, this is awesome. I was into the game. But every once in a while, my mind would wander back to the beloved Eagles, right? To our beloved Eagles. And I think I'm watching Andy and the creativity. Like, the play calling was magical. Like, the script was one of the most creative scripts inside of Hollywood.
You know what yesterday
and
did?
And then I watched 12 personnel and hear Doug saying, we're going to dumb down the offense. Dumb down the offense to what? It's already dumb.
People already know your
it's
offense.
It's already slight or whatever you want to call it, thin.
People predicted their offense the last 2 years. There have been players that have spoken out the last two seasons. Dude, oh, we knew it was coming.
How many times did we hear that?
Yeah, we heard it almost every other week last season and the year before.
So what are you going to dumb it down to?
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden you were talking tempo? We were talking tempo beginning of the season.
Indianapolis Colts 2 years ago.
Oh, my God, stop.
They went up tempo, scored 17 points, went away from it the last 2 years.
And McNabb, how about that for a Freudian slip? And Wentz was on the money when he was running tempo. Lenny. You're on 97.5, the Fanatic. Len.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Hi, Len.
Hey, just a quick observation. Doesn't Studfeld look like Nick Foles?
Yeah, he's tall like him, gangly. Yes.
Yeah, just a little thought there. I just have a few thoughts here. I don't know if anybody's touched on it. But in Wentz's career, he's probably played in the worst division in football. He's given, two teams are rebuilding, Washington and the Giants. Uh-huh. He's given 4 to 5 wins a year. Guaranteed. This year, it's probably going to take 6 to 7 wins to win the division. I don't think you're asking much of a quote unquote franchise quarterback. And I just don't think
the Cowboys are better than them. So, I mean, say what you want.
All right. Well, I mean, they'll probably split. I mean, I don't know about that.
But yeah, your point is right, Len. Your point is you're giving a head start with the Giants and the Redskins.
Correct.
So, you know, I hear you. And I agree with you. He played awful. He lost to Washington. He did not play well. He was bad last week. But you know what? They're all bad.
I would agree with you. More than the tie with Cincinnati, I thought the loss to Washington, I think Washington's a terrible team. I thought that was one of the most worst losses I've seen in a long time. But like I said, I'm just trying to grade him. And once again, I don't want to say I'm tooting my horn. I know years ago, I got on your station and I claimed that he was nothing more than Matt Stafford. And I remember people calling, oh, did you just call him Matt Stafford? Who the hell are you?
Well, first of all, I like Matt Stafford.
I think that's a compliment now.
Second of all, I still disagree with you. I still think he's got ability. So, okay. I mean, I look at a skill set of a quarterback, and I'm like you, watching a lot of football, a lot of quarterbacks, and I still think he's got ability. I think he's been not coached properly. I think, well, first of all, I think his head's 10 cent head. I think he's got an issue upstairs. I do.
Okay.
I think he's got a problem with, you know, he's too streaky. He's got to be more cold-blooded, more killer in him, right? So I think from there, that's on him. I think the weapons have been embarrassingly bad around them, and the coaching's subpar.
And maybe, I don't know if it's coaching. I watch a guy like Aaron Rodgers, who just twinkle toes, like just tap dances backwards. Yeah,
you're talking about one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the league.
Yeah, I mean, he does it without a lot of speed. And when Wentz is under, he just ducks under it. And that's getting old. I mean, that's getting old for
me.
Yeah,
I don't see that, dude. I got to be honest with you, Len. Thank you. I don't see the duck under. And he's fine to his movement. And you can't. Here's the problem is, we can't bring up Aaron Rodgers as an example, right? Like, he's the best quarterback in the league, one of the best quarterbacks in the history of the game. I hear you, brother. Len, you know, right now, you take Matt Stafford with a big smile on your face. Danny in the Northeast, you're on 97.5, the Fanatic. Danny.
Cause, Junior, can you guys hear me okay?
Got you, babe. How you doing, Dan?
Okay, good. Well, first I was enraged. Then frustrated, and I think now I'm just baffled.
what's the biggest source of the baffling?
I talked to you after the 2019 draft, I believe, and you wanted me to give Howie a grade, and I told you, let me get a little more time, let me see some of this stuff play out. I think I've seen. No, I'm going to give him. Yeah, I'm going to give him that. Yeah. And as far as my biggest source of bafflement, I guess it is Howie. After that is my biggest source of bafflement is why. And it's weird because I know Doug and Carson by about game 8 or 9 are probably going to get their act together and figure something out. I just don't understand why every season it takes them about 7, 8, 9, 10 games to get on the same page. This act's getting old, you know?
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing. I don't know that they're going to get it together this year. I don't think that's a lock, to be honest.
Well, here's the other thing. Even if they do get it together, this is what I really want to talk to you about. Even if they do get it together, defense can't stop anybody. Who are they stopping?
Yeah, you're right.
Who are they stopping? The only thing that was holding that defense together for the past 2 seasons was Malcolm Jenkins. And, you know, hey, we don't need him anymore. We got, Duke Riley.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I hear you. And you're right. You're right on, babe.
I just don't, I don't understand. It's like he just wants to play his scheme no matter what kind of players or talent he has. If you just can't do that. Like, it's like almost like Brett Brown-esque going on here. Like, you're trying to play something and you don't have the players to accomplish. Like, you just can't play like that. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when your defensive line's having a bad game, which seems to be kind of frequently these days, you gotta send pressure. Like, they can't stop the run. No one's punishing anyone. I'll give you this, though. Darius Slayton's been playing well. They haven't really been burnt over the top too many times.
No, he's played real well.
At least they're not getting scorched over the top. But everything else is up for grabs. The offense on any team can do whatever they want at any given point, and there's nothing the Eagles defense can do about it. And I think that the quickest solution would be to have Jim Schwartz not back here next year.
You know what's it's funny and great call. I appreciate it. I can't even think about Schwartz right now. Like, honestly, he's almost in a weird way. And I agree with we've talked about Jim a million times. His scheme, he's a pro, the whole thing. We're not loving the scheme. We like pressure. But I can't even think about the defense when the offense is a complete mess. Like, we still don't have receivers. Right? Like, forget about the quarterback has struggles. I don't care if you plug Nick Foles back in. Who's he throwing to? Who? Andrew? Am I missing it?
Greg Ward.
I mean, think about that for a second.
It's a good point. And I don't know, that tells you something. When you're not even thinking about Jim Schwartz, it shows you how many issues this team has.
Yeah.
Like a ton.
And that's why you're 0-2-1. That's why you lost to the Washington football team after you had a 17-0 lead.
Yeah.
That's why you tied with a guy who I think will be a good quarterback down the road, great quarterback down the road, but he's still a rookie who has no offensive line, who has no defense on the other side of the ball, and you tied that team in the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't move downfield in the air.
I mean, that's pretty bad.
And let's go back to the head coach. You're running the ball. Miles Sanders had 71 yards rushing.
Yeah.
At the end of the first half, he finished with 95. Because he only carried it 8 times in the second half. Against the second worst run defense in the NFL.
That's
albeit hard. After 2 weeks leading into it. But still, you get what I'm saying.
Yep. That's horrible. It really is. It's pathetic.
Was 2 weeks of numbers not good enough to go, you know what, we should run against this team? Because it was good enough last year when they beat the Packers early in the season.
Yeah.
I believe that was week 3, correct?
It's pathetic.
I just don't get it.
I know. It's outrageously bad is what it is. Let's go to Stevie in the KOP. Stevie, you're on 97.5 Fanatic.
Cuz, I'm struggling. I was positive Steve last week at the beach and everything.
Oh, that's right. Steve, you're putting the waves.
I tried, man.
Oh, my God, yes.
And it's sad because I block my Monday 10 a.m. to hear you come on and do a big good morning. It makes my whole week. And I can't think of any reason that that's going to happen for the next several months. So instead, I get the sad, out-of-key sort of hum along to the Allison Chain start to the Monday show. And I'm with you, though. I'm with you. It's tough, but I have to say, I think that the problem with Wentz is not that he couldn't be good. I agree that he's burnt here, and he doesn't seem to have that moment to win the team over anymore. Like, I don't know. I read the story where Foles tells a guy, run to the L. The guy goes, what are you talking about? He says, go to the L, the ball will be there. And then the ball's there, takes a hit to do it, and I think now the team for the rest of the year will say, this guy's, he's the man.
Yeah.
And they'll follow him.
Yeah.
And Wentz just can't get that moment for himself. And it's in his head.
Yeah.
And I'm worried like you. That
no, it's a great,
here.
It's a great guess. You're right. And it scares me because if he's burnt here, I don't know that Jalen Hurts is the answer. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, then what? So, now you got poor Jalen Hurts into the Wolves, right?
Right.
I mean,
but this is why GMs cannot hedge. You can't hedge a franchise quarterback. Anything in life, if you invest in the stock market and you hedge, don't get the best returns. You get steady. Okay, maybe we'll make the playoffs. We'll be 500, but we won't be terrible.
Yeah.
You can't hedge. Once you hedge, You should have actually kept Foles. So going back to the decision about you had to get rid of Foles. But if I told you when they got rid of Foles that 2 years later they were going to draft a rookie quarterback, you would have said, keep Foles, see if you can win it again. He's got some magic, and then put the young guy in. See, they messed it up once they hedged because they didn't go all in on Carson. He has a confidence problem and no weapons now.
Well, so, you're right. It's a great point you bring up, and it's a great lesson that you bring up. It's a great life lesson about going all in and hedging. Sometimes you can hedge, and I agree with you. If you have Wentz, right? Like, let me just say one thing. And I understand that he's been horrible, right? So we're off the bat. What's the one thing, when you look at Wentz, you go, all right, well, he's a guy that likes to go chunk plays down the field. He doesn't like to run RPOs. He doesn't like to do 12 personnel. Wouldn't you, the first thing you do is invest in a receiver, right? Like true receivers, not Arcega Whiteside's guy that can't run, Alshon Jeffrey who can't run, that you threw oodles of money at, that you knew didn't have any connection with him. What the first thing you do is put receivers. You build an offensive line, one.
Mm-hmm.
Two, you put the weapons around them.
And before Arcega Whiteside, and again, I think he's going to be a good player, but you drafted Dallas Goedert.
when you already had a tight end. And it doesn't look like now it looks like, you know, remember Howie Roseman, apparently there was the reports that he had a verbal altercation with Zach Ertz, he and Howie. So maybe Ertz isn't back here next year.
Right.
And it's finally Dallas Goedert as, you know, tight end one on the depth chart. But that's 3 years later. In 2018, now 2 years into Carson Wentz's tenure here in Philadelphia, and that was, I mean, Deshaun wasn't here yet, right? 2018 was Alshon Jeffrey, Nelson Aguilar still, and Mike Wallace. Remember Mike Wallace played one game before getting hurt?
So you're
telling me you were going into 2018 with confidence surrounding Nelson Aguilar, Alshon Jeffrey, and Mike Wallace. And instead, you drafted in the second round a backup tight end. 3 years removed, he'll probably end up being the starting tight end, but at the time, he was a backup tight end. And now, hey, I'm not saying they force 12 personnel because they have the two tight ends, but maybe they go, all right, look, I have these two great catching tight ends. I'm going to run 12 personnel, even though it might not suit my quarterback. Just like Jalen Hurts. Hey, we drafted Jalen Hurts in the second round. We're going to get him on the field. Why not draft a speed receiver in that second round of that draft? I don't know why I don't have the draft in front of me. I don't know who was available in the second round.
Yeah, I would think that would be your first order of business, which is to pair him up with his hookup. You got to get weapons around him.
Yep.
I mean, look what Andy did with Mahomes. You know, Mahomes sat. He did the right thing the way he nurtured him. And then he's got great weapons. Forget about the kids, obviously better than Wentz, but look what they put around them.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill is the ultimate speed guy, right? You got Watkins, who's a professional receiver. They got a running game. They always had a running game. I mean, what are you doing? When you're building the team around a franchise quarterback, you know?
Yeah, you were talking about, it's crazy. You were saying you wanted Carson to get a hookup, which is why you wanted to draft a receiver in the first round of this draft. This draft was going into his fifth year.
Well, I've been saying it forever, but this was the receiver draft again. Yeah. Since they failed before. We said it, well, maybe DK Metcalf is his guy.
Yep.
Remember?
He's Russell's guy.
Right? Like, this is perfect. DK Metcalf, perfect. So, yeah, I agree. You know, what Lenny says about, you know, he's been a disappointment, this and that. But what have you done for him? And what have you, and you haven't coached him. It's clear that the coaching has been inadequate. And even now, I don't know, maybe Press Taylor's some genius, whatever. But he is the same age, came in as a, you know, quality control guy.
Yep.
Anyway, I don't know. We don't have the answers, or at least all of them. We know how to point out all the questions, I grant. But it needs to be discussed. The future is in the balance, hanging in the wind. Everybody, they're kicking me out. I'm sorry. Let's continue this tomorrow. Have a great day. Be careful, all right? Remember the NFL and COVID, so watch yourself. Be careful. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.